to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 1800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Ding!
Universal results are in. Everybody loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, dummy!
He's flushing the toilet. Weekend is here. Have a can.
Oh, he's coming in.
There he is.
Hold on a second.
That was John.
That was John doing his impression of Joe.
Very nice, John.
Here he is now. Hi, Dunny.
It's Mike.
Hi. Hi. Go ahead. Lay it on us, Joe.
Weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
Thank you, Joe.
I liked it live.
Thanks, Joe.
I liked it over the real microphone.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. But nice job, John.
It was special. Yes.
Thank you.
John, you really stepped up there. You really did.
And John, we couldn't even hear you breathing when you did that.
Well, no, he didn't do that. See, he ought to do impressions all the time. He won't breathe through his nose.
Maybe that's it.
You just did it again. I feel perfect again.
Attention, Virginians. The Don and Mike Show is crossing the river and coming home to the fabled city of Herndon Wednesday at 8 p.m. The entire Don and Mike wacky crew descends on the Hard Times Cafe and Q in the Kmart Shopping Center on Eldon Street. Stop in for an evening of fan greetery, handshakery, and a healthy dose of adult fun that's great for the immature person of any age. If you haven't seen a Reno-style show, now's your chance. If you have, come relive the magic. The Don and Mike Reno-style show at Hard Times Cafe and Q in Herndon. Be there or get bent.
Taken you to the laughing place.
Life has a laughing place to go. Ho, ho!
They've let the callers run the show.
Okay. Can I ask you something? Do you remember in the Victorian days when the women, instead of gloves, they wore a thing called a muff?
They've even made a loser like you think that you actually had email. But now, they've done something so outrageous, it may cost them their ratings. From the creators of Pump for Cash and the director of Breaking News comes a new kind of Don and Mike that will have you screaming. Don Geronimo.
What am I supposed to do with that porno?
You watch it over and over.
Mike O'Mara.
Elvis didn't expectorate on his fans.
No, but he died on the toilet.
Rob Spiewak.
Why don't you go pick on someone your own size? There's a bus in the parking lot.
Buzz Burbank.
Hey, no need to explain anything to me. I got it on in the band at Woodstock, so I'm not judging anybody.
In a very special appearance by Joe Ardinger.
They're only laughing at you because you're retarded.
Reverb. Don't think you can handle it? Then take some Advil and shut up, you pussy. Reverb. Now playing on the Don and Mike Show.
Wow. And I think that's the intro.
That's it, huh? No more talking?
That didn't just that exciting, movie-type music.
I thought it was fabulous.
Thank you. A big thanks. A big ups. A big holla out. What's this guy's name? Drew Belinsky.
Thank you, Drew.
Drew Belinsky. Thank you, Drew.
Don and Mike Show.
And now, let's buy a Cadillac. That's what this song stands for.
Yeah,
you can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi.
Hello.
One simple song.
Hello.
I need an old man's car, a young man's car.
Hello.
Oh, the bling bling.
Hello.
Hi there.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Look out.
Woo! Look out.
Look out.
Look out.
Look out.
key for me is to keep expectations low.
That's right.
You can suck this.
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
Who he?
Fancy dicks you got here.
Slut, skank, whore. When are you coming over so I can F you? You effing C word.
Right. Oh, yeah, baby. That's our friend Fred Zeppelin. Starting the show today, and you can tell by the smell. It's just the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody, on this Friday.
Bye.
And it's September 22nd, 092206. One phone number from anywhere in North America, including Canada. Call us toll free at 877-365-3636. Want to hear us on your computer? Go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com and click on Listen Live. Want to send us fan mail? We love your fan mail at DonnaMikeWebsite.com. It goes to our webmaster, Yanni Norman. You can email us there anytime during the show. And there's the whole iTunes thing.
How does that work?
I don't know, Mike.
Okay.
It's very important, though, to the people at the station that we mentioned, iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And what else can I say?
Friday, baby. Hey, Friday, man. Party till you puke.
Friday. I was speaking with a friend of mine who works in the radio business, relocating from Chicago to somewhere. It's going to be like Detroit.
You can drive that one, can't you?
I'm sure the people of Detroit think it'd be scummy to move to Chicago.
Right.
I live in both places. There's scummy parts of both cities. But I was chatting with this guy today. We were talking about moving, what a hassle it was, and how the new studios were supposed to be great at the new radio station he was going to. But
right.
Of course, radio stations always lie about that. And he didn't fly in to look at the station.
Oh,
and he's mildly concerned, but he's happy to be out of the place he was at. And he said, "How are things going for you?" And I said, "Are you kidding? We're large and in charge, kicking ass, taking names.
Right.
Things are great." He said, "How you getting along with the manager?"
That put you in a good mood.
This to my friend Al. Al is his name. He was absolutely blown away. He said, "You guys never see the general manager?"
Nope.
I said, "No." He said, "Program director?"
Nope.
No. He says, "So what happens in the building that you're in when you're not doing the show?" He said, "Doors are locked."
Crickets.
Yeah, nothing. Doors are locked. And
there's some equipment gently humming.
I'll give him a perfect example. I said, Mike, my buddy Mike, who I've done the show with for over 20 years, invariably at the other place, when we were back in the old studios, every once in a while Mike would say, and I would think he was being paranoid,
right,
or being insecure or whatever, he would say, "You know, is my microphone turned on?
Right.
Can people hear me on the telephone?" And I was telling him, that's one of the little subtle things that has happened since we moved to our own studios.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have those technical glitches anymore.
Yeah,
we
have is the equipment we use every day, and we're the only ones that use it. So everything is set and everything is ready to go. You know, it's weird little tiny things like coming into a studio every day and not adjusting a headphone.
Right.
Yeah. Because you sit there and it's where it is every single day.
It's beautiful. So anyway, good luck to him. I hope his equipment is nice. He was asking me how ours is, and I was saying how great it is, and then we were commiserating. He's going to a CBS station.
Oh, well, in that case, you know it'll be state of the fart.
We were commiserating about how he said, "How did you manage to get them to actually buy new equipment?" He said, "They were telling me at the station he was going to in Detroit that I guess he said, money's tight and nobody's buying anything now. I mean, the company's not buying any stuff. I think buying any stuff at all." And he said, "Well, I mean, we got in right under the wire."
Yes, we really did. I mean, and it was not...
goddamn lucky.
It was an accident, really. Because, I mean, if we had been... And boy, can you imagine how happy we would have been if we had missed it by, what, a month?
Yeah.
A week? It would have been horrible.
So anyway, how do you, Al? I know he's listening on the internet today. And good luck on that gig, my friend. I don't know what to tell you.
Sure, it'll be fine.
I, he's not, He's not real excited about it. Buzzy's making a format change.
Ah.
It doesn't sound
to me like Chicago to Detroit would necessarily be a lateral move.
It's not a bad move. He's going from doing the afternoon show on a rock station. He's going to the country station. Because he feels that that's the last bastion where he could actually talk for more than 10 seconds without some idiot program director screaming at him.
Country radio.
What market number?
Like market number 4 or 5. I mean, it's a big market. This could be a problem. Hello, hiatus line.
Hello?
Hey. Who's this?
Tom Gavin.
Listen how mellow he is.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Tom, I thought we were going to take a brief hiatus.
We did.
We were going to take some... We did
take a brief hiatus.
We are continuing to take our hiatus, Tom.
When?
You're a little agitated. Yeah.
Until at least next month.
Next month?
At least next month.
I got a question for you all.
Yes, Tommy.
Did you get any tickets for Jimmy Lang's fight, Don?
Any tickets for what, Tom?
Jimmy Lang's fight next month, October 7th.
The boxing match?
Yeah,
No, I've not received my tickets, Tom.
What?
No, I've not received any tickets.
Well, wait a minute, Don. Right in front of you, I think I see ringside seats.
I see ringside seats on October 7th at the Patriot Center.
So, Tom, do you have tickets?
Yes, I do.
Are you going to the boxing match, Tom?
Yes, I am. I am going to the boxing match because I'm going to be sitting right next to Eddie Herney. He's going to get me in, and I'm going to be down ringside.
Tommy? Okay.
Ringside? That's great.
Yeah.
Tommy,
So it's October 7th, he'll be able to tell us about it about a week and a half, 2 weeks later.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, we had a meeting here on the show, and I think I spoke for everybody else who didn't have the heart to tell you that we didn't want to break up with you. We just think it would be good to have a trial separation.
We did have a trial.
Next month, Tom, can you wait a little bit longer?
Yeah.
Because Tom, just in the time since we've told you,
yeah,
that we were going to go on hiatus, and even while we were on vacation,
yeah,
you still called the show 46 times.
Yes,
you did.
Yeah, Tom, we have a little computer that actually counts the number of times you called.
Your total number of calls now is 428 since we moved to the new studio.
Oh, 428?
Yes, you've called us 428 times.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
Hey,
Charlie.
Tom, you're on hiatus. Now, Tom?
Yeah?
I don't want you to be tardy because I know you have an appointment, so have a good day, friend.
Have a good day, and we will talk to you next month.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
There you go. I think he'll call 48 more times.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any getting through there.
No.
I'm fuzzy on the rules of hiatus. Does that include live appearances as well?
That's right. That's right. We got our big Reno style show next Wednesday night.
He counts on the income.
Yeah, he can come to that thing. I mean,
we can't prohibit him.
We can't bar him from being there.
We'd
love to see everybody except Tom next Wednesday night at the Hard Times Cafe in beautiful Herndon, Virginia. Rob, I told you, I think it's beneath us to announce that this joint that we're going to be doing our Reno style show at is right in the Kmart shopping center. I said in some ways it seems to lessen the value of the live show that we're doing.
The good looking manager requested we say that so people know exactly how to find it.
Okay.
So that's how they identify the location.
Exactly.
I think I know exactly where this
Look
place
for the
is.
Kmart shopping center.
Yeah, this is big.
Fun starts next Wednesday at 8 p.m. It's a Reno style show. And we will look forward to seeing all of you there. Hello, Don and Mike show. Howdy. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Do you know that Die Hard 4 is being filmed here in Baltimore?
Dark Horse 4?
Die Hard.
Oh, Die Hard 4.
Hey, that's good. I got it. You didn't. I actually write those down now, you know.
Good for you.
Thank you, Don.
No, I didn't. Did anybody else know it was in Charm City? I didn't.
No.
It's supposed to be this weekend.
I know Bruce Willis is in the movie.
Bruce Willis,
that's
gonorrhea.
That's gonorrhea.
Okay.
Well, I wonder if we get old Bruce Willis on the show. Wouldn't that be special?
Hey, what the hell? We'll offer he's probably not in town filming today, is he? I mean,
it's supposed to be sometime tomorrow.
Sometime tomorrow.
So he'll be tomorrow, Joe. Then. Do you know? I mean, are they going to be filming the whole thing in Baltimore?
I don't know. They said it on the news that it's supposed to be sometime this weekend.
If anybody gets Bruce Willis to call our show tomorrow, we'll give them a brand new car. If you can get Bruce
what kind
Willis,
of car, Don? An expensive car?
Any car they want, Mike.
All right.
Car of your dreams. If you can get Bruce Willis to call
get
our
Bruce
show
Willis
tomorrow.
To call us live on the air.
Tomorrow.
And we will give you, you know, what the heck? I rarely do this, but if you get him to call us tomorrow live on the air, we will give you a Bentley.
How about your choice, Mike? A Bentley or a Lamborghini?
Okay. A Bentley or a Lamborghini. You can either go sporty or, you know, luxury sedan.
That's if you have Bruce Willis call the show tomorrow.
He's lying it over.
Why are you less than thrilled? That to me would seem to be a fantastic prize.
It can't be any takes thing.
You guys are not on Saturday.
That's right. You figured out our little parlor game.
Besides, you got to be careful anyway with what you say. Yeah. There was this happened just like 2 weeks ago during a dumb preseason game on Fox. It was a national game, and it was like the end of the fourth quarter. It was down in Charlotte with the Carolina Panthers. And they were getting killed, and everybody was leaving. And even the announcers were saying, you know, this is like the fourth quarter when all the scrubs are in and the score is like 50-0. And they found one idiot in the stands who was like dressed like in one of those Don King-type wigs.
Right.
And he had it painted Carolina blue, and he had the sign and everything. And they sent one of the reporters over, one of the sideline reporters over, and they said, hey, you know what? Because you're still here, we are going to give you a car. And then they gave him a toy car, right?
Oh,
it was like a joke.
So very cruel.
But it was a joke until 24 hours later when the guy called Fox TV and said, hey, I went home and looked at the tape. And when your sideline guy came up and said, you're going to give me a car, I think you really owe me a real car. So Fox gave the guy a freaking car.
It's just easier. Because technically they didn't say it was a toy car.
I mean, come on.
We're going to give you a brand new car.
Come on.
Wow.
I like it.
Please.
Got to be careful.
Yeah, you do.
That's why this guy from Baltimore is going to actually, you know, get himself a Bentley or a Lamborghini right now on us.
Do you know, there are, hold on. I know I'm full. I just want to write this down. Howard Hoffman. And also,
Howard.
Okay. Two very quick trips down memory lane, okay, about contests. First, when I worked in New York for the first time, when I was 18, I was working at the station called 99X. One of my very good friends, Howard Hoffman, was doing the show opposite me on another station called WPIX.
Okay.
So when the little booger eaters would go on the phone book to try to find the number for 99X, which was WXLO, WPIX would come up first.
Right.
It would say top 40 hits. So quite a few times, kids would get the phone numbers mixed up. And
I think I remember this one.
Yeah, one time, I mean, Howard was the king of this stuff. He had some kid call him up during a record, and he's like, you know, is this 99X? And he goes, yeah. Hey, this is Don Geronimo. How are you doing? What's your favorite station? And he goes, 99X playing all my favorite music. He said, you know, you won a sailboat.
Now, none of this on the air.
A brand new sailboat.
He's doing this off the air during
sailboat
a
funny.
Right, just taping calls.
He's talking to this kid because that's what you did. That you taped calls during the record,
right?
And so he goes through the whole thing with her and says, "What's your favorite radio station?" She says, 99X. He says, "Okay, hold on just a second." And he pretends like he's putting her on hold. Then he picks up the phone and he says, "Okay, hi. Listen, the station is at 1440 Broadway, and the person you want to ask for is the program director, Bill Garcia."
Oh, he went all the way with it.
"You can come down to the station anytime tomorrow after 9 a.m.
Right.
But please don't call. Come down, and we will give you all the information on your boat."
Right.
So imagine my surprise the next morning when I get a call from Bill Garcia, who says to me, "Did you give away a boat last night?"
A sailboat.
And I'm like, "Absolutely not." He said, "Well, I've got this kid who swears that you called. That
you want a brand new sailboat, son."
She called in and said that she, and I said, "Well, she's lying."
Hey, girl.
And he said, "Well, how could she be lying when she was told my name and told to come down to this radio station this morning?"
So Bill Garcia is not picking up on the fact that you've been had.
No, and I mean, this was way back. I mean, this was the year 1978.
Wow.
So this is 79. I mean, long, long time before DJ feuds or even goofing with someone on the air.
Right.
So I was flipped out. I said to him, you know, "I swear to Christ I didn't do this." The general manager.
I can see you doing that.
Yeah. The general manager, Erica Farber, called me into her office that day. She said, I got to know right now, you just got to be straight with me. I mean, if you did this, we will give this kid a vote, but you got to be honest. And I said,
you need to know.
I don't know how to tell you. I didn't do it. So finally, they got some, I don't know, during the time the girl called, we had some record of me answering phones during my show.
They probably had to time it out, right? They had to, like, go back and listen to the air check this summer.
To find out
what time you were talking.
The girl said that she called at about 8:15, so they listened.
You were, like, just playing a record.
So they're listening to the entire tape, and I'm sitting there, and my underpants are just, I can taste them in the back of my throat.
Because sometimes when you're accused of something, you can't help but just feel guilty.
You know, and I'm sitting in a room with the program director and the general manager, and they're listening to the tape of the previous night's show. And, you know, the program director can't help himself but stopping to comment on either if something is okay or if it sucks.
Oh, so the spotlight is on you.
So I remember sitting in this office, and there it's like... And then when they hear it talking, they go back, and they reviewed all the phone tapes.
Man, you could have done that a little better, Don.
So finally they say, okay, we believe you. We're going to call this girl, and we're going to tell her, you know, she was pranked by somebody.
Uh-huh. Right.
She got the wrong number. Right. Cool. No problem. First thing I did, because I'm an idiot, I call my buddy Howard Hoffman. I call him about 5:15. Both of our shows went on at 6 o'clock at night. We did the 6 to 10 shift. So I call him up over at PIX, and I say, Jesus H. Christ, I just had a day like you won't believe. And he says, what happened? And I told him. And then I realized as I was telling him that the sound that I was hearing was not the sound of somebody on a telephone. It was the sound of somebody talking into a microphone, because there's a different, like when you talk to somebody over the air on
so
a phone.
So he's recording you?
Oh, yes. No. Yes.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that part of it.
Of course he's recording me.
I didn't know that he'd done that. He'd gone all the way with it.
And then there's this other guy who I didn't even know at the time. All I know is that the next night when I'm doing my show, I'm answering the telephones. And I go, you know, the record's on. I'm like going, 99X, hello. And it's an obvious disc jockey, right? He goes, hello. I was wondering if you would give me a sailboat. I'm like, okay, who is this? He says,
this is Mark Simone from WPIX.
Now, this is a guy who I didn't even know. This is a guy who just heard, who had heard the tape.
Oh, my God, he's playing it for everybody.
Yeah, and then the only other...
I didn't know this whole story. I didn't know that.
The only other thing about contests that I'll tell you is that... Well, Mike, you know that station in Annapolis. You ran it, 81 WYRE.
WYRE, I was the program director.
It was a daytime station, meaning it was only
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the applause. Yes, I did go to the dark side for a brief time in my career.
It was only on during daylight hours.
Right.
Well, this guy, Steve Kingston, I've talked plenty about him on the show.
He'd been the program director before me.
Right. And one night, because you could turn the station on in the middle of the night, if you were going to do technical stuff
that you
couldn't do during the day.
Testing purpose.
So one night we had pulled an all-nighter, and we were at the station. And after we got done, like, just pretending that we were on other radio stations. Uh-huh. I mean, really, we were on, it was 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were just starting up records, you know, and just using whatever call letters we wanted.
Right.
You know, going, yeah, this is KFRC in San Francisco, and we're playing all the hits, and I mean, you know.
He's playing DJ, which is what DJs do.
And then when the vocal came up, we would just stop it, and we'd pick another one. So we did this a couple of times.
You're going up into Schenectady.
And then at one point, Kingston got really pissed, because I opened the mic, and I said, you know, whatever I said, like, you know, WSAI or whatever station I was making up, I said, right now we got a Cadillac. We're going to give away a Cadillac to the first person to call us. And he goes... Starts giving me the cutoff sign. No.
Man, you will really have to give that away now.
So I turned the microphone off, and I said, what's the problem? And he said, you cannot do... And I said, for the last 30 minutes, we've just been screwing around saying call letters.
That's
that
where
are,
he drew the line, huh?
Call letters that are not assigned to this station.
Right.
We've just been dicking around. I say one thing about calling now to get a car, and he said... Absolutely not. And that's when he shut it down.
Yeah.
That's when he shut it down. That's when the fun ended.
Wow. Do you know that radio station you're talking about is the same radio station where I caught the guy in that transmitter room?
Oh, that's right.
That's the transmitter room that I talk about.
The guy where I came around. You remember
that old transmitter they had there? That old, like, dinosaur.
That's where you caught him with suppositories?
Suppositories. putting him behind the wall and that transmitter. And he just looked at me and said, hemorrhoids, real bad. I'm like, oh, God. I just realized his fingers were on the same, you know, console that I was going to be on the next morning. It was disturbing.
I remember being in the room with this guy at 3 in the morning, and everything was great and funny until that.
Yeah.
Until I just said, call right now for a Cadillac, any Cadillac of your choice. and that's when he loved being like a school teacher.
Yes.
That's why I hate program directors. He's like, okay.
Did you ever work with Sonny Uberoth over there?
At Wire, yeah, he was the general manager.
God rest his soul, he's no longer with us.
Yeah.
Sonny was a firearm enthusiast. This radio station, I swear to God, there was a little cloud of insanity that was over this one area. I came into work one day, and Sonny had the largest handgun in a holster that I have ever seen. It was one of those, like, Clint Eastwood ones, only the barrel was super, super long.
Right.
And it would not be unusual where I'd be doing a break when I was doing the morning show there. And in the background, I would be talking even over a record. And in the background, you would hear. And he'd be out with, he knew every cop in the state. And they'd be out shooting things in the parking lot. Strange place.
Good place.
Yeah, it was a good place.
But program directors. And they, you know, that's where they're all dicks. It's like. And the way I remember exactly how he was, we were having a great time screwing around. It's like he said, you just had to go and do that. What? Well, now.
Oh, so he made you feel like you ruined the party.
Almost like a teacher. Like, well, now we have to turn the radio station off.
I can't imagine he'd do that because he's a nice guy.
Hello there.
They're so like that.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, didn't Hooters get in trouble for giving a, they said they're going to get a free Toyota, they end up giving a Yoda doll instead?
Yeah, that's another famous one. You got to be very careful now.
Well, the way that works, the way I understand it, is you can't mislead. You can't play the word game because they will interpret it as, you know, as the dummies would interpret.
Right.
It's very scary.
Okay, let's see who else is there. Then we'll do something else. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Did you happen to catch The Office last night?
I saw a couple seconds of it.
Well, Tom Gavin on the phone reminded me of something Steve Carell said when he was like, you wouldn't call a retarded person a retard.
That is true. I mean, who else? Do we have that drop? We got it. Robbie says we got it.
He said, you got it?
Yeah, we got it.
Good.
You know, The Office is one of those shows, I have to say, I like Steve Carell.
Yeah.
I like the BBC version with that guy, Ricky Gervais. I'm mispronouncing his name. I enjoy that version much more than the U.S. version.
Is the BBC on the BBC television?
It's on BBC America.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, waiting for CSI, so we watched My Name is Earl. Janet came over, we had dinner, and we watched My Name is Earl, which was hilarious and funny. And then we started to watch The Office, and I said, I'm going to go out and cook the steaks. She said, well, don't you like Steve Carell? And I said, I do, but he's just, the show's not. And then I'm outside cooking the steaks, and I swear to God, I actually hear her laughing so hard that she's stomping her little feet on the floor. So I come in from the deck, and I go, what could possibly be so funny? It was like 5 till 9. I've not watched a second of the show.
Right.
She says, What? He's gonna hunt the gay guy. He called the gay guy a faggot. And I guess you had to be there for the entire 30 minutes of the show. I walked in like at 8:57, and I said, well, you know, I say faggot every day on the radio.
Well, Steve Carell's not really the fan of that. I mean, the star of that show. It's that guy with the glasses, right? Is he the unsung hero of that show?
They're all stars. Okay. I mean, yeah, they, both Mike, of them and more.
In an ensemble show.
Ensemble cast, someone shines. A different person shines every day.
Has to be the spark plug. Yeah.
Someone has to be the spark plug. That's the line.
Yeah, so.
I'm sorry, I'm not up on my diamond quotes.
Says they're all stars.
They are. Jack Diamond, another one who worked at that radio station.
At Wire, right.
In fact, I worked for him at that radio station.
Ouch. Right, that's how you know so much about him.
That's how I know. And that's,
he's still blackballing you.
He was, let me tell you something. You backstab me, and I won't just blackball you in the market. My revenge will be sweeter than that. And you know what he was referring to? He was another guy that had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about that radio station.
Oh, and Sean Hall had a gun when he worked there, too.
Sean Hall had a gun? Is that where Sean Hall cleaned his gun, or was that at WABA?
I was at WAVA. Someone walked in on a Saturday. The guy was just a top 40 station.
Playing a record, cleaning his gun.
Cleaning his gun.
I worked with a guy who did that.
That's normal.
I ate fried chicken while he turned the control knob, so the guy after him came in and found a sticky knob.
That's great. This guy, Sean Hall, back then, in whatever this was, in the early 80s, he was also, first off, he was infatuated with Frida. I mean, absolutely.
Was he really?
Yeah, they were friends, but I knew that he always wanted to, his private fantasy was always her.
I didn't know that.
Like, I remember after Bart was born, you know, that's the last thing I wanted in my house. Like, 2 days after Bart's born, big, smelly, sweaty, roly-poly Sean Hall with photography equipment. But there he is, taking pictures of Frida and the little baby. He's happily married. Well, good for him. What, Rob?
Go to his website.
Oh, shut up. I don't want to go to his website.
Oh, my God.
But,
go on, Don. Check it out. I like the picture of the bus bird.
The, I remember Frida telling me, when I was telling, I told her the story about it. I said, yeah, Jesus Christ, someone walked into the station on Saturday and Sean Hall was seriously cleaning his gun. And she said, oh, don't you know how weird he is? And I said, well, of course I do. Look at him. And she said, no, you know, like he drives like a Berlinetta?
Yeah, he does.
He drove a super expensive sports car.
A Berlinetta.
But lived with his mom.
Yeah. Well, that's how he afforded it.
Well, as Rob says, he's happily married.
And like so many radio guys, he was one of those guys where if you said to him, I climbed Mount Everest yesterday, he'd say, well, I helicoptered him. I mean, it would be that kind of, he was that kind of.
I can top this.
Yes. One of those, a lot of people like that in this business.
I don't know anybody like that.
Easy talk.
I do.
Are you looking at one right now? Hello.
I know more than both of you guys.
Buzz?
All my
guns. If you could take a compliment, those are some fine steaks from Omaha Steaks that you got me for my birthday.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Buzz got me these porterhouse steaks that were just freaking gigantic. Mike, hold on. Why are you? I'm not dissing you.
I didn't say anything.
No, you didn't say anything.
I didn't say a word.
You made a face like,
I did not.
Yes, you did.
All right, so I did.
Yes, you did.
Just a little bit. No, I'm happy. I'm glad that you did.
We're going to try your rotisserie oven this weekend. I just want to give him a compliment.
Put a steak in it.
Just want to give a compliment.
Yes, yeah, diminish it. Diminish it.
I'm not.
My machine will last long after those steaks are through his intestinal tract.
True. Oh, I don't know. They say that meat stays in your intestine for like 50 years or something. From like that, right?
You bought him the steak basket. He could roast.
Yeah. You know what? I did. I got you the steak basket, which was an accessory above and beyond the product. There you go.
Well, what a very nice night I had last night with Janet. The more I think about her, I think that she's a real special one. She's one that I don't think I'm going to let go. That we are finally to the point where I am myself, just like I was with Frida, and she accepts me to the point that she'll accept me, and then she tells me when I do something that she doesn't like. And like with Frida, she realizes that she can't really change me. So we've really worked into a very nice relationship now, where she can come over and it's like, she doesn't hassle me and doesn't mother me and smother me and all that crap that would drive me crazy before. And,
right.
And last night was just so nice that she was there and cooking dinner, and the dog was happy because the dog is, Colonel Clink, is a little queasy because Max is dead and passed away. And she's doing stuff to make him happy, and I know he's happy to have somebody else in the house, and he can tell that there's some happiness going on there. And we were watching the CSI, and at one point last night, just how these things move along, how you move along after you lose, how does someone move along after they've lost the love of their life, as I did with Frida. It's been a year and 3 months now. I never would have thought a year ago that I would be talking about another woman this way, saying how great she is, and really, she has so many great traits on her own, but how much she reminds me of Frida. And in other different ways. And just weird things happen, like she and Bart have chatted, and Bart at first was, I don't want to say cold to the idea of me seeing somebody.
But he was kind of ambivalent.
Right? Yeah, because he and I were both in different places. I mean, he went back to college, to his college life, and the life that he knew at home, was suddenly changed.
Right.
And it changed. We can never change it back. So Bart and I have had, obviously, a lot of talking, and he's in such a good place now. I was just so pleased last night that we had, we've been discussing, around the holidays, doing something maybe, and Bart's words were we would take a family vacation. And I said, assuming that he thought just he and I would go somewhere, and he said, well, where would Janet like to go? Would Janet like to go there also? So
he kind of opened the door for that. That had to make you
feel
good.
And then I had gotten home, and, you know, I'm just oftentimes not in the best mood the moment I walk through the door. And the dog was barking, and Janet was exceedingly happy, which, you know, as she's finding out sometimes, it's better just to leave me alone for 10 minutes when I get home.
Amen.
You know, rather than come up with you. I know Buzz is a big
believer
in that as well.
Yes. Well, I think all of us have a little bit of a, you know, right after the show, oftentimes all of us have a bit of a joy allergy.
Just give a, just give Daddy 10 minutes to go upstairs and just, you know, take a dump and, you know, get into my sweat clothes and, you know, just let me just chill out. So I walked in and she was like, "Hi, how are you? How are you?" And I said, whoa, I'm happy to see you. Tone it down. I got flowers. Look, I got flowers. And then,
it wasn't like when you do that. Hey.
The dog is happy. And I said, great, the dog is happy. And then the phone rings. And I said, oh, Christ, I can't even, you know, this is the way I'm when I get home. I said, I can't even talk to anybody right now. I said, would you just pick it up? So she picked up the phone. And she had a very nice conversation with Bart. And as a matter of fact, she was on the phone, I don't know, like for 5 minutes.
Right.
To the point where after I'd been saying I wanted to go upstairs and do something, I would like stand there. I'm going like, who is it? Does the person want to talk to me? And she was holding the phone like going, you know, give me the finger. Like just, not give me the finger, but
right,
holding up a finger like, you know, wait just a moment. Uh-huh. Okay, good. All right. Well, you too. Okay, bye.
Click.
What? Talk to you soon. And I'm like, who was that? She said, that was Bart. I said, oh, well, that's, you know, that's very nice that you and he are talking. See, this is the weird way that I am, and this is the weird way that the things like this go, that Bart has turned a corner now. I mean, I had realized that, but he's turned the corner all the way now. And I said to Janet, what did you talk about? And she said, oh, we talked about my name is Earl, and he had a question about the show and a question about what time another show was on, and then he said he didn't really need to talk to you, that I had answered all of his questions.
And that's when you know the corner has been turned.
That to me means that things are pretty normal.
Well, that's good. That's a good
thing.
I'd
say so. Anyway, I'm very happy, you know. Yeah. And I was mentioning this to Janet last night. You know, sometimes I know that stupid people call the show and I get riled up and stuff. But when the guy called the show the other day and said, "Don, you're so angry. I've listened for 20 years, and you're very angry." If I've ever been really angry, it was right after Frieda died.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't angry at anybody. I was angry at God and angry at the situation.
Right. Not exactly abnormal.
You know, what I do on the show is what I do on the show. And as I said on the day after I got back after Frieda passed away, if you can't make the difference between what I'm doing on the radio and how I am in real life, and the fact that, you know, frankly, every once in a while, you just got to let it go. Mike did it. Mike and I had an argument a while ago. I fly off the handle all the time on the radio. If you don't like it, well, F you, screw you, and go to hell, and I'd like to make love to your mother without a condom. But I'm not an angry guy.
Not at all. I don't hear it.
I believe.
And I know. I'm sitting here looking at you. Those words, if you had written them down and put them in a publication, would appear to be angry. But I know that they weren't said in anger.
No, I'm
in
very...
In fact, they're a little more effective when they're not said in anger.
Very, very happy, which is why I said that to Janet last night. I mentioned to her, I said, you know, at one point, I said, that's so great that you're talking with Bart and that, you know, That things are cool, and like that she's good and we're getting along good. I said, yeah, God damn it. Why would someone call and say I was angry? Really, I'm not angry. I'm
really
happy.
Pisses me off.
We had this discussion last night. You know, she said, she just looked at me and she said, okay. And at one point, she said something like, you know what? I think, and we were sitting in the TV room watching CSI, and she said, why don't you give me your tray? We have the old Frieda, these trays, you know, obviously TV trays, right?
Oh, okay.
So she said, give me your tray. And I said, why? And I noticed she started cutting my food. And I said, what are you, I said, why are you cutting my food? And she said, Oh, because you're being such a lunatic, I really don't think that you should have a knife in your hand.
Now, she's kidding.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
She's kidding.
Right.
But what's not funny is that she actually did cut my meat. I ended up with a plate like a 5-year-old would get with a lot of little
if we all live long
bite-sized
enough,
bites.
It's something we're all going to experience for real anyway someday, so what the hell.
Yeah, so anyway, I just wanted to mention that, not to bore you all to tears with that, with what's going on, but... You know, I'm the furthest thing from angry. I'm really very happy, and I don't feel guilty about saying that now either. You know, because there was a point where I did feel guilty about that, and right. I had even had conversations. I've had a lot of conversations with Janet about that.
Yeah.
You know, when we've been out or something, and I've had a real good time, and then she said, "Why aren't you happy?" And it's like, well, I kind of feel weird about being happy, but
moving on is a hard thing to do.
But everything is cool, and she's. She's great, and I was going to ask you, Mike, we didn't even have this discussion on the air. This was off the air yesterday because you and Carla are not living together, but you're still seeing each other.
Saw each other as she spent the night last night. We had dinner and another heart-to-heart last night.
Good.
And it's something that a lot of things are being said that needed to be said, and I probably, at the time when she decided that we were going to have what we call a cooling-off period, I probably thought it was, at the very worst case, it was going to be the beginning of the end. And as the best-case scenario, it would be time for both of us to think, well, it's better than that. It's actually something where we're talking very clearly about the relationship, and you talk about moving on. And I'll say this publicly, that I've got to move on, and it's taken me a very long period to realize that, a very long period of time from what I went through to move on. And I think that that's what you have to do. And that's when things start going in the right direction. And I knew Carla loved me and felt good about me. I didn't know that she felt as strongly about me as she did. And
it is good.
You know, so as I said, but what we're doing right now is we're not setting any kind of timetable because we do have a little bit of work to do, and we're going to see what happens. But I never thought that when she moved out that would be good for our relationship, because you know I don't think like that. I'm somebody that really likes to, you know, fix it now, get it done,
get it done.
So I report, my progress report would be forward progress is being made.
I was going to ask you, mm-hmm. who got dogs though?
She has her little pug, and I got the big Great Pyrenees, and she comes over every day and takes care of the Great Pyrenees while I'm doing this, and you know, and it's going to be, you know, I'm going to have a weekend by myself with my kids, and we're making the right moves, I think, and it feels real good. You know, there are obstacles, as you guys know, that Carl and I have. You know, I mean, it's very, very interesting, to say the least, when you are dealing with somebody who is so much, so there's such a gulf in the ages. And it's something that really, it was funny at the beginning, and then, you know, 3 years into our relationship, you're sitting there and you're going, you know, hey, we're still hanging in there, yep. And with this, even with this big blow up, we're still managing to hang in there. But no, I'm dealing with the dog, the big dog, the dog that poops the size of toilet paper rolls. I mean, it's just, yeah, he's going to be 140 pounds. Poppy, named after David Ortiz, who hit his 52nd home run last night. So he's a great dog, but he is still, you know, it's one thing when you have a little puppy that's not potty trained. Well, this is really a large dog already, who happens to be 5 months old.
Like a mountain wolf.
And, you know, I was walking through with my bare feet this morning, and I had turned my back.
You got to buy some flip-flops.
I usually wear them now. And I almost went down on my ass. I almost went airborne, and there it was. And as soon as it was simultaneously feet hitting it, and he's so large, and there was so much urine that I actually smelled it and slipped on it at the same time.
Hydroplaning.
And you know, and I look at him, and he comes around the corner, tail wagging, going, did I do anything?
Wasn't he better at the beginning? Didn't he used to be better about that?
He was like Hitler.
He was smaller.
He was good at the beginning.
He was smaller at the beginning.
But I remember that as soon as he got to grass, when Hitler was a boy. But when he got on the grass, he'd go right away. So
he still goes outside, but he just has to go more often, and he has to go inside, too. And he has to go, but I mean, and he got into, he destroyed a beanbag the other day. He chewed through a beanbag.
Some guy's nutsack?
No, it was a real beanbag. You know what's inside of those? Have you ever seen what's inside of those beanbags?
Well, first, beanbag is one of our code words
for one, you know, or the chairs you get.
Right, the real beanbag chairs.
And what they have are tiny styrofoam, tiny little BB-sized pellets
right.
that were all over the kitchen floor.
Yep.
And for 3 days, his poop was filled with these little pellets.
Sure. And that's how your entire house is furnished, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, beanbags.
With beanbags
and beaded doors. I don't have real doors. I have actually the beads that hang.
Nice
down.
Look.
Like
I have
Greg
that.
Brady.
But I mean, it's you know me. I mean, it's there's always something going on, and it's and right now I'm content, and it's another deal where I think I was working into some bad habits. It's been good for me to be exclusively taking care of the dog and not like letting it happen and letting somebody else handle it. I got a better relationship with the dog, even though I slipped in his urine today. The dog and I are getting along very, very, very well. So, I'm not going to say that, I think everything you do in life requires, at least a small amount of effort, and including relationships, and you have to work at it. And if this makes me work at it a little harder, I say so be it. And as far as the dog, Jesus. I can't even imagine what the size of stuff that's coming out of his body is going to be in 3 months. Because right now, this is larger than human. Okay? He's already larger than human.
Well, larger than that one that was at the movie theater?
Yeah, the movie theater with Frank?
Yeah.
Not larger than that. That guy was some sort of freak of nature.
We had to go to a movie.
It was a homeless guy that had pooped.
We had to go to a movie screening one Saturday morning, like at a 10 o'clock showing for a Chuck Norris movie or something, to get this douchebag on the show.
He wouldn't come on the show unless we saw
the movie.
Stupid movie.
So we all met downtown where they opened up a theater for us, and some homeless guy had just walked away from the opening of the theater, the entrance.
Didn't Frank inform you that it was relatively fresh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Frank came running over and said, homeless guy just took a crap right in the front door. You got to come look at it.
Wasn't it down in like a stairwell next to the theater?
Oh. Right by where, because it was
the movie posters were.
Yeah. You would go down like four steps.
Kind of an art house cinema.
Yeah.
I guess so.
A fart house cinema. Oh, and another beautiful lady.
Life in the big city.
Certainly going behind the scenes here, but I know that Rob's wife, Carrie, is celebrating her birthday.
Yes.
Hey. Tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yes, she'll be 68.
And Rob.
Yes?
She's going to be her mother's, right?
Yes, she is.
You, man. Yeah, that is your secret to success.
She'll be south of here, yes.
Have you ever added up the days?
Mike, I'm just a college graduate. I can't count that.
Percentage-wise, what would you say the percentage of the
time
year
that they're together?
You're together with her.
I'd say over the marriage, we've been apart 18 to 20% of the time.
That's all. I thought higher.
There were long stretches.
And it's at a number that's increasing now as the children get older.
Yeah, it is.
And she's able to distance herself and put both of them in the car.
And there's been just magic. Remember when we used to go to New York all the time?
Yeah.
That was something, wasn't it? But I do love her very much. And
that's when we were all playing at 50%.
Yeah, she's going to be, how old will she be? She'll be 38.
38.
How about that? Wow.
38.
Yeah.
That's something. God bless her.
And she can't hear my voice right now, but I love her anyway.
Because she can't hear?
No.
Okay. Then can I discuss what we were discussing about if you're going to go to see her tomorrow?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the discussion I had with Rob this morning.
This is whether he's going to go down to the mother's house.
Yeah. And God knows when Frieda was alive, I would have these discussions on my end as well. Rob said, we were talking about playing the odds here. He said, tomorrow is Carrie's birthday. That he thinks the move to make would be her mom lives about 2.5 hours away.
Yeah, Newport News, 150
right.
miles.
The move to make would be drive down there tomorrow, give her the card, give her the flowers, whatever, then get in your car and come back home. Right? And then you got the rest of the weekend to yourself.
Yes, precisely.
Now,
good move.
Now, the problem is, the fly on the ointment is that Carrie has said she's thinking about coming home on Sunday.
Now, if she's just going to miss the birthday by one day, you can probably get away with
it. Do you want my advice?
I do.
As I've known on the show, Mr. Relationship.
Please, Dr. Phil.
I think no matter what, you make the drive down there.
Yeah.
I think that gives you the more chips in your
stomach. Well, here's why.
Wouldn't it be fun to not make the drive?
No.
Wouldn't it be fun to not make the drive?
Here's why you do. What's the one thing that your wife is most consistent at?
Bleeding.
Okay, besides that, and bruising.
It doesn't bruise easily.
She is most consistent at telling you.
Drifting in and out of consciousness.
I'm going to be home at a certain time, and goddamn, she is not always 12 to 14 hours late.
Even if she says she's coming home at a certain time on Sunday, he's got the whole day Sunday.
Yeah, right,
I would say if she said to you.
As a matter of fact, her birthday last year. She was supposed to come home.
She was.
And she came, I remember it was after 11 because the Elvis miniseries was over.
Sure.
And I was pissed.
And you leave early tomorrow.
Yes, I leave back early, too.
You do his hours. If you make the trip down there Saturday, does it mean she might not come back on Sunday? Does that increase the odds?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'd be looking at.
See, she's a wild card, but here's the thing about Rob's wife. If she says, I'm thinking about coming back early on Sunday.
She's getting ready.
That's 100% that she's not coming back till Monday.
Right. And if she does, and it will not be during daylight. I know that.
Right.
It'll be Monday night.
Yeah. Right. Well, if it's not Sunday night, it's Monday night and probably Tuesday.
So, you've made the decision then. I'm going to make the drive down. Drive careful.
That'll be good. I'll bring her
home. And you'll do so joyously. Godspeed.
I will be alone.
We had that discussion.
Yeah.
And it'll be great because Rob will be able to see his kids and then leave them with his wife and his mother-in-law and drive home.
Her birthday, his present.
He said, in perfect world, he's home by happy hour tomorrow.
I can do that.
What will be, now, let's get into the logistics of this just a little bit. What will be your excuse for leaving? I mean, because when you go down there, will you get the, hey, you ought to stay down here? Will you get that? Will that discussion happen?
Yeah.
Or will they assume already you're going to split?
That might happen, but I will say that she will let me go because she'll know I want to watch football on Sunday because of fantasy football.
Okay.
And so I said, if I have to leave tomorrow, I'll have
see that becoming
first thing
a
in the
sports
morning.
Fan thing worked out for you.
Yes, because she has a vested financial interest. That she understands.
Very good.
So, and I'll say, and I don't want to, I don't like driving at night.
Yes. No one does. Is that really true?
Sure.
Or he is a grandmother.
No, it's not really true.
The way you drive, I can believe it. could believe it.
How did I all of a sudden become the villain?
Sorry, but I really thought...
He is a slow driver.
I'm
a fine driver.
You are like being behind a goddamn Amish buggy when you are
it
trying
always
to
do some traffic.
Rob, and I swear to God, I thought you were telling the truth just then. I really thought that you might not... That'd be something that would come out of your mouth.
No.
I don't like driving.
I don't care about driving at night.
It's his story, and he's sticking to it.
But let's say it's true.
Let's say it's true.
Right?
Right.
And you know what? I will drive fast coming home.
Do you bring a cake down there?
An ice cream cake. Make me drive fast. They live near a Harris Teeter, so I'll show up bearing pastry.
Very good.
But I won't tell her I'm coming.
All right, so it's Carrie's birthday breakfast.
Sort of, yeah, sure. I'll make her a cake omelet.
I'm fine.
How you doing, Ed?
I'm fine.
Jerry!
Coming up!
God.
Yes. So please, nobody get on 95 tomorrow because I'll be heading south.
Happy birthday to everybody.
Yeah, love her a lot.
Well, it sounds like everybody's doing really well with their relationships, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't check in with you, Buzz. Everything going all right?
As far as I know, sure.
Buzz.
Yeah. Everything's fine?
Yeah, everything's all quiet.
No mirrors ripped off the wall anymore?
No furniture being moved. Everything's
very
fine.
Good.
All right, well, let's take our break. Mike, Ed, whoever it is.
Ed.
There's more coming up with the flag. Daniel Rodriguez, The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So
that's the best.
Stick around.
Bob Zaney. Is it a chest cold?
I got my thing that I brought back from Las Vegas that refuses to leave. It refuses to leave the last little bit of my chest, and so when I get laughing, it's like you can hear the. it's in there and it's right there, it's right down all the way down there, and so I'm waiting for it to be over.
Oh, and you know what? We are discussing a location that would be good for Bart and a friend of his and Janet and myself to go for a couple of days between Christmas and New Year.
Right.
It appears it probably will be Las Vegas.
Baby,
why not?
Baby,
why not, baby?
You know, I got a very nice letter from the people at Harrah's Casino.
Thank you.
I said, wow, hey, they didn't waste much time. I had gambled so much that I had forgotten a little stop that I made at Harrah's where I tapped into a little money and they were asking for payment.
On a second.
Yeah.
How do you gamble and not have to pay immediately when you leave?
He's Mike O'Mara.
You know, you're such an inexperienced gambler. Let me enlighten you as to the concept of casino credit.
casino credit.
Oh, you have a line of credit.
I have a line of credit.
I have many, many lines of credit.
What could go wrong?
Many, many lines. Yes, what could possibly go
wrong? Well, then.
So the fine people at Harrah's have told me that I actually, you know, excuse me, remember that little stop you made for a couple of nights? You you need to pay us.
And, now, will you send them in one bill or two 20s and a 10?
I sent them their $11, and I sent them the $11 in a sack of quarters.
That'll be good to post.
That is, I am amazed that some guy, like with a squared off nose, it didn't show up at your door.
No,
you skipped.
Not yet.
You skipped Vegas and left. You didn't pay your bill.
Well, the terms are normally 30 days. And,
oh, are they really?
But at this particular stop, because their computer system was down, it was a 2 week. It was a 2 week period.
You don't throw away a Mercedes when you break the mirror. You don't want to. You don't want to eliminate the chance of Mr. O'Mara coming back.
And the reason you do that, you get the line of credit. You don't have to pay for your own money. You know, you go to an ATM, you got to pay a fee.
Right.
You get it from your credit card. You got to get a fee where you got to carry like money around with you. No, it's just there.
Wow.
And you know, they money. They check.
It's a money saver.
It's an absolute money saver.
Those casinos sure
but
are
the,
nice.
But the incredible amount of money
they're
that I
they're saving
have.
You that $1.50 charge. That's for right. Using that ATM.
My
no
depression.
Line.
My depression coming back from Las Vegas was based on losing the amount of money that I perceived that I had lost. And, you know, 1 week later, a little letter tells me, hey, no, idiot, just a little more than you had thought. Just a tiny little bit more than you had thought. Yeah. So you'll be going to Vegas a long time before I will, because I have to stop going for a little while.
All right, Ed. There's more coming up with the Birds of Flags, Daniel Rodriguez, The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So stick around.
Stick around. Right, we got a big show today. We got so much to get to. We want to try to get about this YouTube contest going.
Good.
There's so many tapes besides the Jerry tapes. Oh, and we're going to have the beautiful Jim Nancy on the show today.
Nancy.
And Mike gets his bit today. And we have Buzz with the news. Of course, we've got so much to get to. And so many tapes besides the Jerry tapes.
Yeah.
I've got tapes of Clay Aiken being asked point blank if he's gay or not.
Hello. And
he doesn't like that.
I like
no,
that.
He didn't like that question. Ryan Seacrest talking about being gay. We've still got the tapes of the monkey that ripped the guy's face off.
Oh, that's right.
Got the greatest guitar solos of all time. We've got to start blowing through some of these tapes that we've got.
The stack is getting larger.
We've got so many. And we got off onto a really good roll with the Jerry tapes yesterday.
Right.
Maybe when we come back, we'll pick it up there.
Right. Although, yeah, we had just gotten into Tony Orlando.
Yes. Although the Clay Aiken stuff is killer, though. Let me just give you a...
It's pretty hot.
It's a shame that Clay wasn't on the telethon talking about being gay.
He's a telethon kind of guy.
He's done it before.
Oh, he has?
I think
that
so.
That doesn't surprise me.
Okay. First off, of course... Someone mentioned last night from My Name is Earl.
You don't call retarded people retards. It's bad taste. You call your friends retards when they're acting retarded.
From The Office.
Bingo.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
The Office.
The show. Oh, that's what someone was calling
that's
about, right.
Right. That's the question. That's what made Janet stomp her feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, when Bart called me then after My Name is Earl was over, and we were talking about how funny it was, he mentioned something. I'm sure you've seen the show enough to know that at the very end, Greg Garcia puts up pictures of friends and family, people that you don't know.
It's called a vanity card.
Right. And at the very end, I can't believe that we have never put the pressure on him to get our picture there.
Yeah, we have great conversations with Greg Garcia, but
we never whore it.
We never whore it.
We never whore it.
And that's not like us. We are supposed to milk our friendship.
Because Bart said to me, didn't you have your picture on... boy, aren't I a proud dad. He said, didn't you guys have your picture on the King of Queens refrigerator? And I said, yeah. Yes, we did, son.
Yeah, many, many moons ago.
Yes, we did.
Amigos de Garcia is his production company, and it's the vanity card at the end of each show has a picture of somebody wearing a sombrero. You guys should be wearing sombreros.
We should have thought of that yesterday.
Well, you know what? I got a way we can do it. Seriously. We don't call him. We don't ask. We get a picture taken of us in a sombrero.
Uh-huh.
And
send it.
And we send it to
there
him.
You go.
With nothing said, and then we just wait, and then we see.
And hope, and
what do you say
watch
every
week?
And what do you say?
That could be the title of our careers, and we wait.
And we wait.
Okay, let me just tease you with some Clay Aiken. Does Clay Aiken go to Rump City all the time?
Everybody assumes that what has really been happening in these last few years with you
and what's probably going to happen right here today.
And listen, if someone asks you if you're gay, even if you're gay or you're not gay,
uh-huh. right,
isn't the answer either yes or no?
Right.
I mean, if you answer in an ambiguous way, it makes it painfully, no pun intended, apparent which way you swing.
Well, I know that because I've always answered. It's always been a torturous kind of answer for me because I've never really been able to get my head completely around that question.
Sounds very much like you, Mike.
Yeah. A couple of weeks.
Here it is.
Is that you are ready to come out and say you're gay.
That would not make any sense for me to do that. I mean, I don't... That doesn't make any sense. I've gotten to a point now where I feel it's kind of invasive, you know? You know what? Forget it. What I do in my private life is nobody's business anymore.
Okay, you know what that means?
He's gay.
Gay is a $2 bill.
Well, I mean, yeah. Be proud.
And I know it used to be a $2 bill, but you never see a $2 bill anymore.
Who's the person doing the interview?
Diane Sawyer.
Oh, God, I thought that was a guy.
Diane Sawyer, everybody.
I thought that was a guy.
Tom Sawyer.
It's Diane Sawyer. Diane Sawyer. People have said that you're gay. Are you gay?
Nah, I just don't understand Trina.
Hey, how about his gay laugh, though?
Yeah. Yeah. His nervous gay laugh.
Oh, absolutely.
His nervous squirrel-like gay
you
laugh.
You want to guess if some guy likes the poop shoot?
There's your clue.
I think that would be
poop shoot central.
What he does in his private life is his own business.
That's right.
Where do your fingers go, Clay?
Yeah.
Do your fingers go to bad areas?
You know, the way Diane Sawyer is now, though, he could have a relationship with her and still be gay. Thank you, Clay.
Okay, we got a break. We'll get to all that when we come right.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Stole a truck?
Because they wouldn't give me my money back. It was a crime of principle, like when Rosa Parks stole that bus.
They wouldn't even give you a store credit?
No.
That doesn't seem fair.
Thank you. Which is why you have to help me sell the truck.
Sell the truck? Joy, that's against the law.
Earl, this is not about the law. It's about right and wrong. And isn't that what your list is about? Right and wrong? Do unto others all that Robin Hood, Batman, Jesus stuff?
Well, you got a good point. The store did do you wrong. I don't know if Jesus or Batman would sell the truck, but Robin Hood might. Okay, I'll do it. But you're not getting a penny more than $3,000.
Of course not. That would be wrong.
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
You're a goddamn genius. Look out.
Woo, look out. Look out. Whoa. Whoa.
That was from My Name is Earl.
Jason Lee sounds strangely similar to Gary Busey a little bit.
I thought he got maybe a little of the acid reflux happening.
Yeah, a little rough, though. I mean, if he keeps going in the direction, he will be Gary Busey.
Also last night, as long as we're talking about TV, about halfway through CSI, Janet said to me, you know that your girl's going to be in the shower. And I said, what? You know, it's that thing where she's talking while the show's going on.
Oh.
And that, thank God for TiVo.
Yes.
You know, as I call it, I have another word for it that I use with the boys. It starts with a C. Kind of rhymes with TiVo. Anyway, so I finally, TiVo.
Yeah,
TiVo. Finally just go, and I give it the old, not that tone. There I go. Okay. Oh, what?
Yeah,
I know. Because what? Everybody knows the exact thing. You're watching the show and she's trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
And finally you just go, okay, and I look at her and I go, what are you talking about? And she says, Mark Helgenberger is going to be in a shower tonight.
Yeah.
Hello. And I said, well, now, I did not realize
Bridal?
That. I did not realize that. And she said, I said, where'd you hear that? She said, I saw a commercial for it. Mm. So I said, oh, good. Now, this worked out great time.
Was there any crack?
Time-wise for us, because Mike, she was right.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have laughed.
Excuse me. She was ape.
She was ape.
Hello.
Hey, Il Issam, CSI.
Oh, no, not Mark, again.
Mark Elgenberger.
Hello.
Got the date ape day.
Elgenberger.
Date ape drug. She's ape.
So yeah. It was done in the shower?
Well, no. She was at a... they had a great time waster on CSI last night,
mm-hmm.
which really helped when I had to take Janet time to explain the show and then hear what I didn't know about the show. Because while we paused it, was when John Mayer came out to sell whatever his new record is.
Right, okay.
And they wasted about 10 minutes of CSI having this dick come out and sing his latest song, which really was just a setup for someone to put the date rape drug into Mark Helgenberger's drink at the bar.
Wow.
And she wakes up, and she's in a big loft somewhere in a cheesy apartment, a cheesy hotel, rather.
Right. Oh, so it's like the crying shower.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So when she gets up, she at
That's
first,
the sequel to The Crying Game.
At first, she swabs. Oh, and the best scene last night, I went back, I gross Janet up because I kept backing it up and watching it
Stomach
again.
Stomach contents?
No.
No?
No, when Mark Helgenberger had to give herself the old wipe.
The old
reach down to get there.
So she processed herself.
Yes,
right.
She did.
Feel the evidence. I love it when women process themselves.
Yeah. So I, at one point, then Janet was saying, "Why are you replaying this?"
Yeah.
Said, "Look, look at this. She's wiping. She's cleaning.
That was you time."
You
hit the button once for Janet time, then you did a little U time.
Yeah, I got about like 5 U times. And the problem is if you have the DirecTV, I don't know if it's like this, but on the HD, the DirecTV TiVo box, the little button that backs up TiVo just 5 seconds,
right.
The replay, right, it's like it's a pubic hair away from the button that turns the TV off.
I know. Yeah.
So unless you have the tiniest of tiny fingers, I, at one point, was trying to go back just 5 seconds to watch Mark Helgenberger...
Horribly designed remote.
...clean herself.
Horrible.
And I kept turning the TV off, and finally Janet said, "Why don't you just go back and watch it after it's over?"
And does your TiVo remote, does your remote that you use for your DirecTV, is it illuminated?
No.
And I hate that, too. No, not help, because I watch all of my TV in the dark.
The black one that's sort of figure eight shape?
Yeah, that's the, I hate that. It's the worst remote ever made.
That's the one I got.
You don't know which way is up or down. I mean, you can't use it in the dark.
Big CSI show last night, yes. But don't waste my time with John Mayer. Don't put him on that show.
Or Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, and too much faggy Cirque du Soleil. I don't care if the ceiling comes up and they dance around with it. You know, that whole thing.
It was like Here's Lucy. And then write a show around
this story. All right, Rob. All right, that's where you lose me in this conversation. With Rob, everything gets back to Here's Lucy. Not I Love Lucy.
No.
Not the black and white show that everybody knows.
Right.
The crappy one that was in color.
The Lucy show.
One that has a puppet.
Oh, remember the marionette of Lucy dancing.
Hot.
Right.
Lovely.
Other hot TV women, and I still think Mark Helgenberger is hot.
Yes.
Even though I noticed last night, she definitely has those age spots that are...
I like to call them freckles, Don.
Well, they're not only on her arms now, but they're all the way... I mean, her boobs must be covered with them.
Did it look like she popped any more spots during the off-season?
A couple. I also did want to mention at some point that I think Meredith Vieira is just looking... Ooh, so effable.
I've always loved her.
She's a good-looking woman, and I don't mind watching her read the news. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like Curry. I'm always hot for her. I like the way she wears her ankle-length skirts. She turned me on.
Ann Curry, Mike, is so good at looking sad.
She
is. You think she's the best with that doe-eye look?
I get so excited when she uses her sad voice, when she's doing the sensitive interview.
No, and I like Meredith Vieira when I've watched her on the Today Show. She's a little saucy. She says nasty stuff, and she's goofy. She's goofier. She's definitely goofier than Katie Couric was.
Yeah. I like the Hollywood lady.
Yeah, even though Katie Couric was known as the happy-go-lucky pixie.
Right.
It's like as soon as anybody would say the word dick, she would immediately just shut the whole operation down.
Yeah, she'd can it.
Well, this morning, Meredith Vieira must have used the word dick 10 times in the first 10
minutes.
Wow. I don't know if you've seen the Today Show, but it comes right out, and she's like, "Boy, what a dick you are, Matt."
She used it 4 times in throwing Willard.
Willard.
Anyway,
that's right. It's Friday Willard. Yeah.
She is a good addition, man.
Yep.
She's an outstanding addition. And one local note, I have been watching Channel 9 News at noon since I was a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And for years I had railed about J.C. Hayward and her goddamn Queen of the Nile wigs.
Yes.
And I think... sometime around
a turban with a gemstone in it.
Yeah, whenever they interviewed me about Frida, back way when it was still cold outside,
right.
they sent me a picture of her, and it was like all my best. And I mentioned that the next day on the air or something, she didn't have the wig on, and she had just a regular hair,
right?
A regular afro curly hair,
real life.
And she and it's obvious that someone over there at Channel 9 is listening to me, because every time I turn it on now,
she's using her regular
hair. J.C. Hayward has her regular hair.
That's great.
And I just wanted to mention that today, when I was watching J.C. Hayward for the first time, I was attracted to her bosom.
Really?
I believe J.C. Hayward has a bosom going on.
Ample?
I believe so.
Really?
I would bet. Now, you don't get a lot of scenes of her ass. Size
C?
I would say D.
D?
Very good chance.
Whoa.
Hey, you don't get to look at her ass a lot, so I'm not really sure if everything matches up.
Right. Man.
J.C. Hayward is probably 55.
You don't see. I haven't seen D's on a local newscast since Frank Herzog was there.
I just want her to know, if you're out there listening, baby, hey, how you doing? It's me, Mr. TV.
How about this? You come full circle.
Yeah.
You used to make jokes about wigs, and now you're looking at her boobs.
That's all you had to do, baby.
Wow.
Just take that wig off, baby. Brown sugar, just take that wig off, baby.
Yeah, well, hey, good news for you. It's sweater season.
Let that hair flow, baby.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
J.C.
Beautiful Jerry curls. She looks nice. She looks nice with her real hair.
Yep. Natural
with her real hair. On the other hand, there's the hyperactive poodle on Channel 5, Holly Morris.
She's got a pretty good body.
Oh, she's got, as what's his name would say, Joe Idiot, she's got a rockin' body.
A rockin' body.
As Joe Millionaire would say. But the thing with this chick is that on the morning news on the Fox station here in D.C., if they're like having a cow milking contest, she's underneath the cow with the udder, and she's got, like, overalls on, or she's at a Pilates class, or she's at, like, a class where little kids are learning about the revolution, or she's at a pie-making class, or whatever. And then at noon, when the news comes on, she's the anchor person, and even though I have a hard time separating between the crazy girl and the woman who wants to be the news lady, why is it like today, when she does the news, when she wants to be taken seriously, she doesn't want to be known as the chick who milks cows on TV.
Right.
She wears this goddamn necklace that, do you remember this, that big L that Laverne had?
Yeah, it's a swiggly script L.
Right. She has, not as big, of course, but around her neck, a gigantic H.
Yeah.
I mean, it is bling.
Doesn't surprise me.
It is bling that Mary J. Blige would wear.
Right.
You know, that Jay-Z would wear, that Justin Timberlake would wear.
She's got a matching one that's for her piercing down there.
She's got one down there that says C.
Holly.
But,
it's actually a shape of a holly tree.
The advice from this man's couch would be, honey, you want to be taken seriously. You know, stop wearing the Laverne and Shirley clothes when you're on Channel 5.
She can wear those tan plaid pants that she wears every now and then.
Oh, her Burberry pants?
Her Burberry pants. That's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
That's Log Splitter Central right
there. Except, you know, the problem with her is that it would be the Kathy Lee factor.
Yeah.
That you really would have to duct tape her to make love to her.
All right,
there'd be no way that you could stand listening to her voice.
Since you brought it up, I'll give you a who would you do. Holly or J.C.?
Holly Morris or J.C. Hayward? Who would I?
And J.C., the J.C. stands for just cause. just cause, though.
Probably Holly Morris first.
Mm-hmm.
Probably first.
First. I hear both in your future.
Oh, yeah, I would do both of them. I'm serious. I'm probably the only guy in this room.
I'd do both of them if I.
Who would do J.C. Hayward?
I'd have to do, before both of them, I'd have to do Susan Kidd.
Well, then I'll buy you some flour. And that poor woman.
I'd like to be knocked around. I'd like it rough.
I think, as we've mentioned before on the show, Susan Kidd is a woman of large carriage, and she's one of the anchors on the Live at 5 on the NBC station.
Right.
And this poor woman, every single year for rating sweeps, they bring out whatever the latest diet craze is, and they make her come out and say, this year, Susan is determined.
How many inches this year, Susan?
Every single year.
It would be.
She's just huge.
Susan Kidd, Megan McGrath, and Jan Fox.
Hey.
All three.
I like Jan Fox. I like Jan Fox. She's pretty good looking for an older broad.
Well, that's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Hold on, who are the three again?
Jan Fox.
She's good.
Susan Kidd.
She's fat.
Megan McGrath.
She's got horse teeth.
But see, only Jan if she did Fox. The, only if Megan McGrath did the slick back hair.
Oh. Jan Fox does not belong in that group.
Take out Fox and put in Crenshaw.
Liz Crenshaw.
Ah.
Liz yeah, Crenshaw. That's the trifecta right there. Megan McGrath, Susan Kidd, Liz
okay.
Crenshaw.
Here we go. Who's got the stinkiest, you know, Daisy?
Okay.
Of these local TV ladies.
All right.
Liz Crenshaw.
Right.
Susan Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
We think real hard and give you a wild card. A wild card, baby.
Doreen Gensler.
Oh, she smells good down there.
I'm just throwing her in there. You never know.
Lard McCarthy.
Lard McCarthy.
Okay. Who smells worse? Lard McCarthy.
Yeah, it's a complete... you've already mentioned the one that laps the field, so to speak. It's Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Liz Crenshaw.
Yeah, Liz, I would go with Susan Kidd as the winner there.
No, not at all.
Not Crenshaw.
I think it's Crenshaw.
Because in her travels, she would have found a product that works.
Liz Crenshaw is the investigative reporter, and I use that word very loosely. On Channel 4, yeah, she's the one, you know, the clapper. You've seen the ads. Mm-hmm. Does it really work? Tonight on News 4. Meanwhile, she is such a troll that for her commercials, they have to get a guy standing on a ladder where the camera's looking down at her. So she's looking up. So every roll of fat gets pushed back as far as possible. She's like, tonight on News 4, I don't know why I'm staring at the ceiling, but this makes me look like less of a pig. Back to you, Doreen.
It also takes away those Samsonite bags that she's got under her eyes.
Her next photo shoot, they're going to use a fog machine.
Very scary, kid.
Piggy, pig, pig.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know who else I put in that? I don't want to leave Baltimore out of this.
Good.
For years and years, I have watched, when I was on vacation, I watched her again. Sally Thorner.
Is Sally Thorner still doing the job up there?
Channel 2. You know, she's up there with old hair lip
band. He's still doing it, too?
Yeah. Channel 2 is the station for losers in Baltimore. I mean, if your TV career is going nowhere, apply to Channel 2 in Baltimore.
Yeah. Channel 13's got the hot people like Don Scott and Denise Koch. And who's the... who's the Rudy? Is it Rudy Miller?
Rudy Miller is the woman that looks
Rudy
like
Miller
a man.
Rudy Miller was like pregnant 15 times while she was on TV.
Yeah, but also very managed.
Very managed, but always pregnant.
Very
always.
Managed. But I think that Sally Thorner, and she is thin.
I like Sally Thorner.
And she works out.
Right.
And she always looks like she's in a tanning booth. I've just always had the thought when I look at her that if you ever pulled those underpants down.
Yes.
You'd need a clothespin for your nose. You really would. Smelliest woman in Baltimore television.
You'd avoid the Thorner corner. But don't be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised. Doreen, you never know. You never know.
Maybe some years ago.
You know who else, maybe?
Mm.
As long as we're talking about people on TV.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of our funnest things to do.
This will surprise you because she's on the radio, too. I like Lisa Baden. I'm a big fan of Lisa Baden.
Yes.
But I have to think, her Daisy stinks.
I'd say it's like roses.
Yeah.
Like that rose, that old lady perfume. Because she wears those schoolmarm outfits, but she...
Little House on the Prairie.
We've discussed this before. She is stacked.
Nice. Oh, she's got
to use an old term.
She's got the biggest jugs of anybody on TV, but the problem is...
Oh, she just won't change that I'm a perfect
schoolmarm. She wears Little House on the Prairie, mm-hmm. the thing that goes all the way up to her neck.
She's like a teacher in a Catholic school.
I mean, for God's sakes, let those babies breathe. You're on television, for goodness sakes.
Is it too much to ask? She is on television. How about some cleavage?
You know, and the rap on Lisa Baden is that she's obnoxious. You know, a lot of people don't like her.
Really?
Because... Oh, really? Yes, no, she is.
No, I mean, I like her. I'm a fan. I'm not surprised to hear that.
And my thought about her has always been, like, if anybody calls and doesn't like anybody on our show, if you don't... I'll use myself as an example. If you don't like the show so much that you're calling and telling me about it and listening, that's fine with me.
Right.
Because you count as a listener.
Right.
And I'm sure she feels the same way. But a good way for her to maybe build up some goodwill with the non-believers would be to show those jugs.
Or just even a T-shirt. Even a tight T-shirt without a brassiere.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be sweet.
That would really be fun. Just to show that she can do casual. She's wearing clothing that, like, from the Barbara Bush collection.
And I'm afraid, you know, I've been a big fan of Alison Starling, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that, you know, the more I look at her, she's got a really pretty face.
Yeah.
But I think that her body...
She's got helicopter spread.
Her body is probably like Jim Handley's.
sitting in that helicopter too much, too.
From the neck down.
Oh, you know, of all the women we've been talking about, I can't get Lisa Baden out of my mind.
Alison Starling is not a helicopter.
She's not a helicopter?
She's the girl
She's
Channel 7. She's the piece of ass.
I've never agreed with you on her. She has
such a pretty face.
No, she's cute.
So plain, like puppy dog.
No, pretty.
She's just like me.
Pretty, but I've seen her the last couple of days. A little close, and it's like Jim concave.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right. You got a body like Jim Handley.
Jim Handley.
I'm Jim Handley, just hanging around Channel 4 waiting for Grady to die.
There's this guy at Channel 4 here in D.C. who is a... This guy wants to be the anchor so bad.
Right.
They relegate him to the 4 p.m. newscast.
And, you know, they won't give it to him even if Vance retires. They're not going to give it to him.
No, he's like he's the Al Gore of Channel 4. It's like no matter what happens, he's going to get passed over. But he's such a go-getter that whenever anybody is sick or like during a storm,
it's always
during snow.
Right.
Jim Handley, first one at the station. You know why? Chance to anchor.
They all follow that model that Channel 4 in New York set with Matt Lauer when he was doing everything. Remember? And they still all do everything. And now that's the work ethic that tells these guys they're going to get the brass ring someday. That's right. The way they do it.
Do we all agree that the best-looking woman in local TV is Tracy Neal, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
Not only good-looking, but also Able. Knows how to sell it,
Listen,
baby. Knows how to sell it.
Beautiful hair. Beautiful body.
And always looking flawless.
Nubian princess. I mean, this chick could be a model.
Yeah.
She is so beautiful.
And I don't know what she's doing
reading a card.
She knows how to do the plunging neckline.
You know what?
Thank you.
So does Todd.
She should be a hostess in Las Vegas. She shouldn't be the anchor of Channel 9's news.
That's high praise.
But I, you know, really... Lisa Baden, just go to Tracy Neal and ask for one of the outfits, even though she works at a different space.
Or not.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Lisa. Hey, guys. 2 days ago on David Letterman, Mark Helgenberg was on there. And two things. One, in high def, you can see those spots on her chest.
Yeah, you can see it last night on CSI.
Yeah, she popped a few new ones.
The second thing is when every once in a while, she would kind of lift up her dress a little bit, and man, I had some me time there.
You didn't have to share that with us.
Some
me time.
That's okay. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Radio God, I want to know, John, if you get a chance, do you get a chance to check out the Fox 45 News in Baltimore, the morning news? Three hotties they got.
But they have three hotties?
Wow.
No, the traffic girl, she always wear tight shirts. The traffic girl.
Well,
really?
Yeah, and then they got a lot of leg crossed and a lot of, like, living room set. Skirts and a lot of leg crossed.
This really should tell news directors everywhere. Friend. There's right, one way to play the news.
Thank you.
Hire the hotties.
All right, we'll keep an eye on Channel 45 in Baltimore.
Yes.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hi.
Would you guys do Jane Miller?
Jane Miller.
Jane Miller. She's in Baltimore TV?
Yeah, she's on...
What channel?
11.
Channel 11? You know, I don't know if I know Jane Miller or not.
No, don't know her.
I don't know.
You know, if I was a news director...
Is she an anchor or a reporter?
She is a reporter.
Is this Jane Miller on the phone?
Good or bad, what are you saying?
Gone. Oh, she's gone.
Maybe it was
Jane Miller. Whoever Jane Miller is.
If I was a news director, you know what I'd do? I would stock it with hottie,
mm-hmm.
but they'd have a little trouble reading.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
But where can you find that?
Yeah, hello. That's hard to find.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, don't forget about Jennifer Gilbert.
Jennifer Gilbert, I'm not...
What channel, what station, what city?
You know what, dude? She's just a good-looking woman. I can't even remember. I just called her on there, and she just...
You know, you got to remember the station.
What town are you calling us from?
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay, what station in Baltimore?
106.7.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye. We're talking about chicks on TV.
Slow down.
For goodness sakes. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Last call here.
Don and Mike.
Any of these tapes, I apologize. We'll do it when we come right back. Yes.
Sure we will.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, we are. Hi there.
Yeah, hey, you guys are forgetting the princess of the stinky...
You're right. Hold on, you know, we really did omit her.
I don't think hers stinks.
And the largest as well.
I believe hers smells like mothballs.
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
She had about 10 kids, so I think she's probably a...
Well, she's another one that wears...
Well, it's good and stretched out.
She wears the Mamie Eisenhower outfits, too. Honest to God. She shops at the same store that Lisa Baden shops
at. How about Kathleen Matthews?
Kathleen Matthews is out of any conversation because we all know that she climbs on top of the whale Chris Matthews.
Or vice versa.
How can we possibly rate a woman as far as being attractive sexually when we know that she has had Mr. Hardball? She's had Mr. Hardball.
From her too much because they got a pretty cool kid. Dave. I don't know why.
Excuse me,
Rob,
she's been tainted.
Tainted?
She's been tainted.
We'll take her right off the list, though.
She's off the list because she's...
I always thought you attribute more weight to Chris Matthews than he really has. But I love it when you say, how do you describe it, that sloppy, sweaty? You make him like super... You turn him into Chris Farley, and I like
he's
that.
He's a big, like, fish out of water. It looks like if you go to the frozen or the fish section of your local grocery store, it's like blubber. I saw him one time at a function. I saw him at I know where it was. It was at Steve Buckhantz's golf tournament.
Okay.
3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
I saw him there, and my God, I said, look at the mitts on him. And I remember what it was. Oh, I got it now. He had ring nipples. Chris Matthews had
rings under his breast.
Rings of sweat around his nipples. Around, it looked like someone came up with two monocles and just made an imprint on each of his on each of his nipples.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah, he's big and pale and
sweaty nipples.
I can imagine him. See, because for those of you who don't know who watch Hardball with Chris Matthews, his wife is a local anchor here in D.C. So we get the fabulous mental picture of this pretty well put together woman, you know, mounting this whale at night.
Poor woman,
you know,
they love each other.
My God, you know, can you imagine her?
Same.
No, I'm not doing that, Chris. I don't do that. No, I don't do that.
Come on, go ahead. Come on, climb over here,
Chris. Okay. Chris, I can't do that anymore.
Of course you can.
Oh, Chris, the smell.
Of course you can. Come on, try it this way.
The smell.
Oh, boy. Now we're talking. Now we're cooking with bacon. Yeah, baby. There we go. Fantastic.
He achieves at the same time she throws up.
Thank you.
The meshing of the... He's
thank you. Where's the roll of paper towels?
God, oh, that's it.
Wait, you got vomited.
Oh, God.
Jeez. Two great tastes that taste great together.
That was so much fun. You got number three in my puke.
Thank you.
Got puke in my number three. Okay. We better take a break.
After that, we need to get a palate cleanser.
Because I know that Nancy's going to be on the show today. We've got these Jerry tapes. So, Ed, what's coming up?
There's more coming up with the Purple Flags, Daniel Rodriguez, The Color Purple, and Bob Zaney. So stick around.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
We'll be back.
Number four, Arbitron.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Attention, Virginians. The Don and Mike Show is crossing the river and coming home to the fabled city of Herndon Wednesday at 8 p.m. The entire Don and Mike wacky crew descends on the Hard Times Cafe and Q in the Kmart Shopping Center on Eldon Street. Stop in for an evening of fan greetery, handshakery, and a healthy dose of adult fun that's great for the immature person of any age. If you haven't seen a Reno-style show, now's your chance. If you have, come relive the magic. The Don and Mike Reno-style show at Hard Times Cafe and Q in Herndon. Be there or get bent.
Hi there, I'm Brian Griffin, and you're listening to The Lunch Hour, serving up food for the mind. Today's entree is politics. What's on your mind today? The governor's budget, stem cell research,
give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Okay, we have a question from Quahog. Caller, you're on the lunch hour. Can I take your order?
Yes, I'll have a big helping of the pretentious crap.
And we're out of time. This has been the lunch hour. And remember, life is full of entrees, so don't fill up on bread. I'm going to throw you now to Weenie in the Butt in the afternoon.
Weenie in the Butt!
Oh, my God.
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
You're listening to the radio. The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Look, the key for me is to keep expectations low.
Broadcasting with a utility belt full of fun for ye, Don and Mike.
Well, women are always changing their minds, and dancing is going to be a couple of seconds late.
Doesn't it seem like every year it takes her more and more time to get ready?
Well, today she says, but this was just 10 minutes ago, Jim Nance calls during the break. We're supposed to have him on here, and he says, guys, I'm at the mercy of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm here for the game against the Bengals. Can we possibly move it to 5:30, guys?
30 minutes, guys. That's what
guys,
I asked.
Guys, I'm at the mercy of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Guys, can you do that? Can you help me out, guys? I really would appreciate that. Yeah, you're troopers. Thanks for letting me do it.
I don't like tardy. Tardy is disrespect.
You ever hear?
Mentally retarded.
Takes me more and more time to put on my eye makeup.
Not funny, guys.
Hey.
My eyeliner.
Not funny, guys.
Straighten up, guys.
Boy, you know, and if you've got the fantasy football, and everybody does now, they're already coming on with the bye weeks, which is...
Tell me about it.
Which is screwing me up. I mean, I don't mind I planned for it, but as it turns out, you got a great guy that you got to sit this week.
Right.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
I got to go with, I don't have the Chargers defense. I got to go with
I got to sit LaDainian down.
Tampa Bay defense this weekend. Adam Vinatieri doesn't know if he's going to play or not. I had to go get another kicker. There's nothing worse than having two goddamn kickers on your roster at the same time.
Very frustrating, but I think TB's going to, negotiate it and
TB?
Work. TB, Travis Butler.
That's your general manager.
Yeah, he's the GM. We've established the communication through the password. He has the proper passwords right now, and he's able to get in there. And John Norman informs me he's made a couple of transactions.
Well,
I have not observed them.
All I know is that I have decided I'm not going by anything I see anymore on CBS Sportsline.
What?
Which is where our league is through. What I mean is every time I go there and it says my player news.
Right.
They've got the little red cross symbol next to
right.
them.
Yeah, Tom Brady has been injured all year.
Now,
yeah.
Some of them, like Adam Vinatieri, well, maybe the dude really does have a groin pull or a broken a thing in his foot.
Right.
But then they got Sean Alexander,
mm-hmm.
right? And he was my number one pick overall in the draft.
Great running back.
So right away I go to SeattleSeahawks.com,
mm-hmm.
and I see, speaking of fat walrusy guys, I see Mike Holmgren, who is talking about how Sean Alexander really, it's a minor, minor thing.
Right.
He's definitely going to play on Sunday.
So so you really go deep. You don't just take the CBS Sportsline injury report.
No, because they've got no idea. Half my team has red crosses next to them this
right.
week.
Yeah, they do that a lot. And it seems, I'm going to have to talk to Travis about it now that he's got the password. The password, incidentally, is Eclair. Hello, Travis. You know, Travis, you could call me. I'd like that kind of involvement.
Really?
I don't need to make the moves. I don't need to put the lineups in.
Would you prefer a call or an email?
An email would be fine.
Better.
An
right?
email would be a lot better. Than, you know, here, as a matter of fact, since he's the president of my team,
uh-huh.
president and general manager and the operating officer
you're
of my
the
team,
owner, right?
I'm Tex O'Mara. I run the team the way I do.
But he's your Joe Gibbs.
He's my Joe Gibbs. And I'll be sitting next to Tom Cruise this weekend with my tiny little feet. I wish he'd call me or email me, just let me know what he's doing. I'd like a status report.
I was watching something on Inside the NFL. I almost called you last night. You know that show on HBO with Bob Costas?
Sure.
Okay. They did a feature about Buddy Ryan's sons.
That's funny right there.
Hold on. And you probably don't know this.
I forget that one of them is Rex. I forget the other one's name. One of them is the defensive coordinator for the Raiders.
Okay.
And the other one is the defensive coordinator for our Baltimore Ravens.
So they're following in their father's footsteps. Before he was a head coach, he was a defensive coordinator.
Now, if you thought Buddy Ryan was fat.
Really?
I mean, his sons, especially the guy for the Raiders, because the Raiders played the Ravens.
They have those mashed potato faces.
Here's the thing. They got, no, Mike, it's the gelatinous, pendulated stomachs.
Uh-huh.
They might as well be German tourists in Speedos at Disney World. Incredibly fat. So they're doing this feature about what's Buddy Ryan doing while his sons, for the first time ever, are coaching against each other, doing what he used to do in the NFL.
And what is he doing?
They showed Buddy Ryan, NFL Films or HBO, whoever, was at his house in Kentucky, and they show him sitting on a recliner, watching the game on TV.
That's it.
Having a Budweiser.
Out to pasture.
And he has one of those cheap throw rug blanket things over the back of his easy chair.
Oh, dear.
A Philadelphia Eagles one.
Stadium dress.
And it's quite obvious that he got dressed up to be on TV. He has a suit on, but he's got the coat off, and he's back, and he's pulled the lever on the chair.
Is he wearing a belt with suspenders?
Yeah, no suspenders.
Right.
But he does have the tie that doesn't go down far enough. And
the two buttons exposed.
And when he sits back in his recliner and pulls on the lever, and that little thing comes up for your feet.
He does that?
You see about 3 inches of flesh.
Leg.
Yeah, and
the socks too short, pants too short.
I don't know. Maybe she is departed this earth, so I don't want to comment on Mrs. Ryan.
Mrs. Ryan.
We used to certainly have a good dialogue going when Buddy Ryan was the coach of the Bears and the Eagles.
Need another roll up here, Mother.
Mother! But there was no sign of Mrs. Ryan. It was just,
Buddy, fall in.
Buddy Ryan. And he was...
Hi, Irene.
He was... he was so funny to watch because they had these... His sons are gigantic fat, and he's sitting there eating and drinking, and as they're showing the two of them on TV, he's on the phone with people like going, yeah, it's all defense. There's my boys. There's Rex. There's Rex, and there's Fardio.
Well, isn't that weird? It's one thing. I guess there are a lot of father-son coaching these, but I mean, the fact that they would both be defensive coordinators.
Both of these guys said... Nepotism, absolutely.
So they actually got their jobs because of Dadu.
That when Dadu got the job with the Arizona Cardinals, he hired them both to be on the staff.
It's the same way we got our president. It's a very similar. Nepotism works.
Yeah, sure. But it was just great to see. If you get a chance, before the weekend is over, even if you got to TiVo it, inside the NFL, because it's a pretty good...
And they're both of them are super fat.
Yeah. Now, the Baltimore guy is fat.
Right.
He's really fat. But the Oakland guy has to have him by 75 or 80 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And at least the Ravens guy is wearing, on game day, he's wearing a pullover. Okay.
Right.
He's wearing like one of those coaches pullovers, so he looks fat, but not outrageous fat. The guy for the Raiders... He's got the pants where I guess the waist fits somewhere around his penis. Because
it's all stomach?
The belly is just so big.
All the way over.
I mean, Mike, Rex Ryan, the fatter of the sons.
Rex Ryan, funny name.
Is fatter than any coach in the National Football League. He's fatter than Abe Gibron.
Oh, my God.
From the Chicago Bears going way
Abe Gibron was
that.
The, I mean, that's a million years ago. That's the fattest right there.
Right. I mean, he's fatter than Romeo Cornell. He's fatter than Denny Green. He's fatter than Mike Holmgren.
Who's the, is he fatter than Wayne Fonts?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Because he's not in the league anymore.
No, but, yeah, Wayne Fonts kind of looked like Fred Flintstone.
Did Buddy Ryan, was it Phoenix was his last coaching stop?
Yeah.
And then he just went away. Right? Yeah. I mean, he just completely, he had one stay with the Phoenix Cardinals and then he was gone.
I think he was like a my way or the highway guy. It was like, I think he was something like, well, if you don't think I'm smart enough, you know, F you.
It was a defensive coordinator for the Bears under Mike Ditka.
And then he got the Eagles job.
And he went to the head coaching job with the Eagles.
And then he got the Phoenix job.
And then he just went, and doesn't he ranch? Isn't he a rancher or something like that?
Remember that? We used to do that bit all the time about him being out on a horse or doing something in the stables, and it would always be, Mother,
I'm back. Had to wipe myself with a leaf.
Another round of paper, Mother.
Mother, come on up here. Uh-huh. Yeah, we always speculated that Buddy Ryan, of all the coaches in the NFL, when he'd be home, he would spend about 80% of his time in the bathroom.
On the toilet.
Uh-huh. Yep, absolutely.
Nervous stomach during game time.
I'm sure.
Game planning, Mother.
Mother, where's my chili mac? I'll take it in here, Mother. Don't plan on leaving. That's okay. I can eat and do that at the same time.
Oh, goddamn. And then I guess the other big NFL thing this weekend will be the Monday night game in New Orleans. And a lot of people are looking forward to seeing that and to seeing the rebirth of New Orleans.
Like Bono and all that stuff. I think I'm into the fact that they're going to do the big dog and pony show.
Yeah, I think really what people can do for New Orleans, and I was talking with Janet and with Bart about this, I think what you can do if you want to help New Orleans is go back there.
Go there, and yeah. I plan to do it next year. I really do.
I'm thinking about doing it over the holidays, at least for 2 or 3 days, going back because...
Well, the fun part is there. I mean, the city is obviously has so many sections that are still in ruins,
right.
But, the tourist part, you can help by going down there, and the tourist part
right.
is doing fine.
But
so
you can go in the summertime. here's the only thing, and I said this actually to either Bart or somebody when I was talking about it, I said, maybe the one good thing about Katrina going through New Orleans is maybe now that it's like starting over,
uh-huh.
it won't smell like urine everywhere in New Orleans
yeah.
now.
I don't know if that can ever happen.
No, it's mildew, and now they have had more water than ever, so it's going to be more mildewy than ever.
If you do go, I'd like a report and see what the stink factor is down there.
But
and I'm not talking about women.
Hey. I'll let you know.
Hey!
I think a lot of people are going to watch that game and root for the Saints mm-hmm. on Monday night.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? Come on.
There's another fabulous Harris Casino down there.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I'll just mail a check.
Hello.
Hello.
Romeo Crennel. I called to correct you.
What about, what did I say?
He said I have Romeo Cornell.
Yes.
What is it, Crennel?
Crennel.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Nitpicker. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, when's the last time that you opened up a microphone for 4 hours a day and spoke off the top of your head, and if you got one name wrong, wouldn't you want to jump through the phone and just squeeze that guy's nuts so bad that he could taste them in the back of his throat? I'm not angry, though. Bye, asswipe. I'm not angry, Rob.
The Correctors, tonight at 9.
I'm not angry.
Oh, that's right. He's from that fabulous new show, The Correctors.
Go to hell, you jerk off. See you in hell. See you in hell when I'm taking your mother. Hello, Donna Mike.
The following,
hey, Donna Mike,
following comments were not based on anger.
No, I'm
hey,
not
wasn't
angry.
Wasn't Buddy Ryan in Houston, too? Didn't he get in that fight with one of the coordinators on the field?
Yeah, I think he was just a coordinator at the time, but you're right. No, because he got in a fight with Kevin Gilbride.
Right. Did he hit a player, too?
Yeah, he might have hit a player, too.
Buddy Ryan was fun.
He's a good guy.
We need more of that in the NFL.
Good old Buddy Ryan.
What do we have now? What do we have? Bill Lower Lip Cower.
And Gibbs.
Parcells.
Parcells
is still a dick.
But he's so mellow.
Hello, Donna,
so
my show.
Coughlin's fun to watch.
Hello.
Yeah, Commodore Coughlin is fun to watch, but he doesn't go over the top.
You're right.
Don and Mike, hello.
Is it me?
No, it was until you said that. I'm so sorry. Hello, Don and Mike show.
We're Don.
Yeah, hi. We're all here.
Rex and Rob are their names, and Rex Ryan for the Ravens is the one that is a big, gigantic mess. The one for the Raiders looks like a mountain man.
No, no, no. Sir, hold on a second. I agree. The one for the Raiders has long, gray hair and a big, like, Grizzly Adams beard.
Yeah, a big, bushy beard.
But he is
not as fat. The one for the Raiders looks like he's about to have a heart attack.
Dude, go back and watch this show inside the NFL this weekend. They have
the Raiders guy fatter?
Absolutely. They got both of them walking on the field together in very unflattering photos of both of them. Check it out.
Online. The one for the Ravens has got to be 100 pounds heavier than the one for the Raiders.
No way. How much you want to bet?
I'll bet you anything.
Can't we get pictures of these guys?
We don't need pictures. We can call the team. I'll bet you anything. I tell you what. How about if the guy from Baltimore, the Ryan brother from Baltimore, is in fact
fatter.
Lighter than the guy from
lighter or fatter?
Lighter. Well, because I think the guy from Oakland
you said
is
the
fatter.
Raiders guy is fatter,
and he says that the Ravens guy is fatter.
So if the Ravens guy is fatter,
you want to make a bet?
I'll take the bet.
How about we've not pulled this one out for a couple of years? I'm talking about underpants tee.
Okay.
That we find a way to get the weight of both of the Ryan boys that are coaching in the NFL, and if I'm wrong, I'd be more than glad. Where are you calling us from? What city?
Salisbury, Maryland.
Salisbury, okay. So I'd be more than glad to arrange for you to get down here from the Eastern Shore. Come on down, and what you'll do is you will drink tea that has had my underpants in it. And conversely, I would do the same for you, if I'm wrong.
Okay.
That's laying on the line right there.
Well, you know what that is, Mike? I'm so 100% absolutely bet the fuck right. positive about this.
All right, now which one is that? Is that the Ravens guy?
This is Rex Ryan.
I looked up Rex.
Who's Rex? Well, that looks like Ravens colors.
Yeah, that's not the guy for the Raiders.
All right.
The guy with the Raiders. And besides...
I get robbed.
I don't think you're going to be able to tell just by looking at a picture of their
you
faces.
You might be.
Really? Rex Ryan looks like he's about to have
Hold
a
on.
Kid.
Hold on.
Okay.
This will be answered on Monday's episode.
Okay.
Here's all we got to do. TiVo inside the NFL this weekend on HBO.
All right.
They do a 15-minute segment on these guys, and you will see on more than one occasion that the one guy for the Raiders is so much fatter than his brother. Really.
The Ravens are my favorite team. I watched that game quite intently this weekend, and they showed them both throughout the game. And the other guys, the Raiders guys, just barely mounting.
Maybe you just couldn't get by the
triplets.
Maybe you couldn't get by the facial hair,
dude. All I can tell you is, if you're a man of your word, you're gonna next week on the show. You're gonna be drinking my underpants. Hold on and give your information to John. And, Rob, what we would need to do is just tape inside
sure.
the NFL this weekend. And we could bring it in and actually look at the tape on Monday.
But they're both obviously bigger than their dad.
Oh, they're both huge.
Mm-hmm.
They're both so fat. So fat. Not like you and I, Mike.
Not svelte.
Not put together like you and me.
Condition natural athletes.
Not like Butch and Sundance. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Fine.
Thin and happy.
Hey, did you see Holmgren? On the first game of the season, when they had a close above him, when they only had like 3 field goals in that game, how pissed off and red-faced he was screaming into that thing.
Any of the food fall out of his mustache?
Not that I noticed, but I was laughing like hell because he was pissed.
He's one of those guys that, you know, we have facial hair. You have a beard, I have a beard, Rob's got a beard. Buzz has had a beard in the past. That is a guy that lets that mustache... Those hairs, like, grow, like, almost down to his lower lip.
You know, there's no way that guy
disgusting.
Could even lick his lips without getting his hair in his mouth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, because he's got it. It's too damn long.
Tastes like soup. Guaranteed.
Oh, that's all right. Delicious.
Listen, let's get on this Ryan versus Ryan thing.
Got it.
I feel very strongly about my position on this.
Very good. You are very confident. That's why you have put the underwear tea bet on the line.
Listen, all I got to say is watch Inside the NFL on HBO. And check out the coach for the Raiders wearing the white polo shirt on the sideline.
You know, they're assistant coaches. We could probably even track them down and ask both of them, are you fatter than your brother?
Well, do you think, they're not going to take the call at 5 o'clock on a Friday. We're not going to call up to Owings Mills, the Ravens, and say, hey, put the defensive coordinator on. Who's fatter, you or your brother?
Are they tall guys, too? Or are they just...
They're big guys.
I bet they're
big guys. No, they're big guys. They're big guys. Hey, you know what we could do, actually, Rob?
Yeah.
Why don't you call the Ravens during the break and just ask them. Just call the front desk and ask, who's the fatter of the Ryan brothers?
Okay, and they're Rex and Rob, or they're
different? Yeah, right. I mean, because the one is the coach for the Ravens, the other's coach for the Raiders.
We're trying to settle a bet which Ryan brother weighs more.
And Rex is with which team?
Hey, listen, who cares?
Just I just want to ask them the right Ryan.
Go look it up on the internet.
You got it.
Okay. The right Ryan is Seacrest.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
So we'll break and come back. When we come back, hopefully we'll have an answer to this, and we will hear the Clay Aiken thing.
Excellent.
Thank you. We got to do that. And then Nancy after that, right?
Right.
Wow, goddamn jam-packed today.
Oh, and ask which one of the Ryan coaches is gay. I just thought about that because you said Clay Aiken.
One is gay, one is bi.
Thank you so much. I say this, there's no way they're gay.
Really? You never know.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
You never know.
You never know, right.
Fat guys can be gay.
Yeah, they sure can.
Don't I know it.
They sure can, Louis Anderson.
I mean, how can I forget that show?
Yeah.
Really, really fat guys.
Come on. Yeah, look at my red tie.
Final answer.
Poops. Show me poops. Survey said.
Okay, we'll be back.
Thank you.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
exactly is there.
The Don and Mike Show.
They really make it so worthwhile. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
All right, we'll wait for Nancy here in a second. We were discussing the Ryan boys.
Yes, a discussion that, in my opinion, gets funnier and funnier, excuse me, the longer it goes.
Really? TiVo, that show on HBO with Bob Costas. And the proof is in the stomach.
Right.
It was fun listening to Rob attempt to call the team. Now, the Ravens' business office is closed.
Right, because it's after 5 o'clock on the East Coast.
It's closed. However, the Raiders are still open because it's only 2 o'clock out there.
Right.
So I hear Rob say, they must be going, hello, Oakland Raiders.
Rob's got a super nice personality on.
Rob says,
well, that you're not going to be like abrupt and get the
No,
camper.
No, it's just funny because you're going down this this highway.
Right. All I hear is Rob saying, hi, may I speak to Rex Ryan, the defensive coordinator? Yes, thank you. Then it's like he makes it to another level.
Right.
Hi, I'd like to speak to Rex, the defensive coordinator. And then I step out of the room for a second. And when I come back in, all I hear is Rob saying, I'll be glad to email you that. Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, what happened?
It took 4 extensions to get to his voicemail, which really wasn't even his voice.
Okay.
And if you leave a message, Coach Ryan will get back to you as soon as possible. And I'm like, well, he's never going to return this call.
No.
So I call their PR department. Brian Proctor is the director of PR. And I said, hi, how you doing, Brian?
They call him PR Proctor.
I said, Rob Spiewak, CBS Radio,
he's
Washington.
Sure bet he's no Gamble. Proctor and Gamble, everybody.
That's right.
And I said, how are you doing? And it was very coarse. I said, we were just talking on our radio show about the great Inside the NFL piece they did about the Ryan boys. And he said, yes, it was good. I said, and we were wondering, which of the Ryan brothers weighs more? And I swear you could hear the air sucked right out of the phone when I said that.
He immediately knew something was up.
Yeah, and he said,
it's not that big a deal.
Well, that's a very touchy subject. And I'm not at liberty to answer it at this time. However, if you were to send me that question written as an email, we could forward it to the party. And then he starts doing the NFL dance. So I'll email it to him.
So it may actually be impossible to get this statistic.
We just may have to do it visually. And I'm sure once you see the piece, like I've been
if they're standing together, it should be pretty clear.
Right.
He cannot miss it. I'm a big winner. That guy. Hey, Johnny, did we get... we get that guy's info?
Got it all right here.
All right, good. I'm gonna get a pair of underpants after I run my 3 miles on the treadmill. I'm bringing them on Monday for that guy.
Wow. Bring Splenda.
Some underpants, too.
Somebody's getting cramps.
Now, listen, this is a great day. It's September 22nd, and I want to tell you why it is a great day.
Wow.
Besides the fact that we're going to be doing our Las Vegas-style show at a Kmart shopping center next week.
Hello.
We're doing it in a lovely venue called the Hard Times Cafe.
Here's the information on that.
Attention, Virginians. The Don and Mike Show is crossing the river and coming home to the fatal city of Herndon Wednesday at 8 p.m. The entire Don and Mike wacky crew descends on the Hard Times Cafe and Q in the Kmart Shopping Center on Eldon Street. Stop in for an evening of fan greetery, handshakery, and a healthy dose of adult fun that's great for the immature person of any age. If you haven't seen a Reno-style show, now's your chance. If you have, come relive the magic. The Don and Mike Reno-style show at Hard Times Cafe and Q in Herndon. Be there or get dense.
Pretty good. I can see you there next Wednesday night.
Very good.
Information on our website at DonandMikeWebsite.com. That's not the great news. Here's the great news. Finally, and I knew this would happen in my lifetime, for the first time ever, in the average American home, no matter where you go, coast to coast, in the average American home, there are now more TVs than people in every house in America.
I know you're delighted. I know you have been a connoisseur for so many years.
You know
this is the definitive invention of our lives.
More important than the automobile, more important than the heart transplant, more important
sliced
than...
bread?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And don't talk to me about Jonas Salk. He's a know-nothing.
Who needs to cure polio when you can watch the Magic Box?
You've got the TV.
Mm-hmm.
There are 2.73 sets now in your typical home.
Wow.
And 2.5 people.
It's almost 3 a home.
Half of American homes have 3 or more TVs.
Right.
And I'm glad to say that now,
in a country of almost 300 million people,
mm-hmm.
only 19% of our citizens have only one TV.
That
is
have?
Great news.
How many what? Do you have?
Shut up.
No, I'm curious. Because
you used to be proud of it.
I just did a mental count up, and I'm sort of ashamed when I realize how many I have.
How many?
I have 9.
Just in my house?
Yeah.
12.
Your one house. 12?
12. I have 6.
1, 12. 2, 4, 5.
I have 5.
Yeah.
12.
It's 5 black and white sets.
5 black and white sets with rabbit ears.
And the average person now watches, this is a number that has gone up every year, we now watch, on average, almost 8 hours of TV a day.
A day?
A day.
That doesn't sound right.
Doesn't make sense, but people turn on the morning shows. It depends on, define watching.
The TV,
8 hours a day is not, that can't be right.
Mike, hold on. It's not watches. It's the TV is on.
Oh, the TV is on.
Okay, hold on. The TV is on. Okay, let me read the whole thing.
Okay.
The TV is on in American homes on average, the minimum 8 hours a day, up to an extreme of 14 hours every day.
Mm-hmm.
The average person watches 4 hours and 49 minutes of TV a day.
Most fine.
Up from 3 hours just 2 years ago.
Wow.
That's because the programming is so good.
The TV itself is on for at least 8 hours. In many homes, up to 14 hours. I just want to say, anyway, I'm proud of you guys.
That's the life way to go.
Way to go. Nice going. Okay, real quick, Clay Aiken.
Yes?
Clay Aiken. Who is
How in- are you?
Oh, and that made me think of something else that I wanted to bring up. About, here she is right
Thank
here.
Thank you!
There she is. Rosie O'Donnell is going to be on Nip Tuck. It's
yes,
a show
yes.
on FX.
Great show.
She's going to be on Nip Tuck, and she's going to do a straight, topless love scene.
Oh, my God.
I'm watching.
Straight? Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
how are they going to work that out?
Mike, this is something I read today. God, I hope it's true. Let me try to remember it. Rosie O'Donnell is going to play something like a lottery winner or something. And and whoever the doctor is, she comes in for something to be done to her. And she ends up making out with him. And the quote was that she was not really topless until they filmed the scene. At which time, she pulled down her tube top while they made out.
Thank you. I've always thought, by looking at Rosie's body, she's not really well endowed up there.
No.
On top side, I don't think
she is. If she ever lost weight, there'd be nothing.
I think so.
Hold on. Thank you. Got it right here. Okay. In this scene, Rosie is supposed to be completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
During filming, she tried to wear a tube top.
Thank you!
To be modest.
Yes. Yeah.
But the top kept showing up on camera.
Yes.
So Rosie just decided to take it off.
Oh, God. Who's the actor? I want to know.
The actor's name is...
It's the doctor. He's like...
One of the two doctors.
Julian McMahon.
Ah, well, he's very courageous. He's like those soap opera guys, you know, that have to make out with Vicky.
One life to live. Rosie O'Donnell said, here we go. This is what I was reading. She says, there's this part where they could see my tube top, and finally I just said... Screw it, I'll pull it down. And Julian said, wow, Rosie, you have nice breasts.
Oh, wow.
I said, thank you, you're getting the best view. And this will be on Tuesday, October 3rd.
I'm watching.
You're
Tuesday,
there.
October 3rd.
Is she bigger than the Ryan boys?
Probably not.
All right, now Clay Aiken. Here we go. Clay Aiken, do you go to Poop City?
Everybody assume that what has really been happening in these last few years with you. And what's probably going to happen right here today,
Diane Sawyer,
in a couple of weeks, is that you are ready to come out and say you're gay.
That would not make any sense for me to do that. I mean, I don't... That doesn't make any sense. I've gotten to a point now where I feel it's kind of invasive, you know? You know what? Forget it. It's what I do in my private life is nobody's business anymore. Period. You know, it's one thing to try to be open and talk to people and try to share as much as I can, and of course I want to do that, but at some point it becomes just really rude, you know?
Do you think I'm rude for asking?
I don't understand why you want to know. I don't understand why it's... I don't understand why it's any of your...
Guilty!
Oh my God, he went nuts. Was he going to get up and leave?
That's what it sounds like.
It sounded like he was really getting up to leave.
Is he worried about sales because he's popular in the South and he thinks that would be a bad move to come out?
No idea.
No, all I know is that he's like you, Mike. Clay Aiken has panic attacks.
I always prided myself on the fact that I was able to handle this on my own, pray about it, talk to my family, talk to my friends, and just get through, because it still happens sometimes. And I guess I just got to a point where I thought, okay, listen, you're not going crazy. And so I talked to my doctor, and I said, listen, here's the thing.
I pulled out my pants.
He is very nervous.
Yeah. Doctor, here's the thing.
I don't understand why I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack when I go in these rooms. I don't get it. When I am in the room, the walls are closing in on me, and my heart races, and I didn't understand it. I would look back and say, why are your palms sweaty? What's the problem?
Yeah, I can tell you, Clay. I can really, really sympathize, you know, being gay and having Hispanic attacks.
Thank you.
When you came out, the attack stopped, right?
Absolutely, and that's what he's got to do.
Right.
Also then, continuing, just getting tapes out of the way and stuff out of the way. Oh, here's good news for everybody that's turning into old farts, just like you and I, Mike.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson still gets plenty of poontang.
Good for him.
A new Rolling Stone magazine. Jack Nicholson says he's never bought a condom. Doesn't mean he's never used one. Jack Nicholson also says in the last year he has slept with women from the age of 21 to 61.
Wow.
In the last year. That's the age range he has hit.
Oh, boy, give Jack a nice round of applause.
21 to 61.
Would you like the your favorite?
Oh, would you please? Here you go. From as good as it gets, please.
There's Jews at my table.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. From Jack Nicholson from the movie As Good As It Gets.
Okay. And we got time for Nancy Sure. One more tape. Also, Ryan Seacrest.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Seacrest from American Idol.
Hi there.
Talking about his gay rumors.
Are there any rumors about you that you want to set straight?
No one's ever said anything about me. Or never. Never anything untrue.
Never, ever.
No one's ever joked about me in a late night monologue ever.
Ever.
Oh, yeah. I've heard this one. It's something about maybe someone thinks that I'm gay. Yeah. I don't know if you guys...
All right, now let's see how Ryan Seacrest handles
this. See how he's skillful.
As opposed to Clay Aiken, right, who just giggled nervously.
And went really nuts.
Didn't want to... And start talking about his Hispanic attack.
I've heard that. No. Yeah. I think Jay Leno likes to make that joke a lot.
Why do you think he makes that joke?
Well, probably because I ran into him in the eyebrow waxing salon.
He's avoiding it, too.
He has avoided it.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been pretty honest, I think, all my life about who I am, the things I like to do.
Guilty.
And some of them, stereotypically, are not the lumberjack way of doing things.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Interesting reference.
Here's,
I like you pronouncing him guilty.
Here's more. Listen to him now. This is
guilty of being hot.
On the Tyra Banks Show. Listen to this now. For Ryan Seacrest.
But Tyra, I mean, we should go ahead and dispel the rumor right now. I'm telling you, there's this chemistry here. There's an attraction. I would hit that in a heartbeat.
I said hit that
in a heartbeat, but I'm teasing. I think I say that a lot, though. We shouldn't, but we think that. Right? All right, never mind.
So do you really have a crush on me? Not for real, you're just saying.
Do you have a crush?
I think not really. Do you like chocolate?
Oh, baby.
Listen to his response.
Yes.
You know what I think?
Have you ever dated a black girl?
I've not dated a black girl, no.
Have you ever a black girl?
Oh, now I'm bad for saying hitting it, and you're... No, but I'd like to start next week.
Oh, you know, he's an asshat. He really is an asshat.
Well, right?
I mean, she's not my favorite supermodel, but she is smoking hot.
Yeah. What do you think, Clay? Clay, do you think he might be gay?
Clay.
I don't know, Clay.
I thought that Ryan Seacrest answered a lot of those questions in a very gay way.
And then finally, this from this week on TV, here's Matt Lauer.
I was promiscuous and sexually active in ways I consider immoral and ugly.
What?
That's just a statement.
Oh, that's behind you.
That is just a statement from Matthew Lauer. Just a statement. Just like, how are you doing today, Matt?
I was promiscuous and sexually active in ways I consider immoral and ugly.
Wow.
Incredible! All right. Listen, I saw that phone ringing. Was it her?
She's in a lather, but she will call back in a few minutes.
Okay,
so we should break
right now. We'll come right back with Jim Nance from CBS.
Oh,
hey, guys.
You made me wait over the line, guys.
Man, what are you doing? You're killing me. The Rooney's and you killing me.
You know what? I bet he would have an opinion on which of the Ryan boys is fatter.
Oh, that could be the first question out of the
box. That's right up his alley.
And I also want you to ask him if he does things like a lumberjack wears.
Okay, we'll be right
back. Number four, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Now I've got a most familiar figure and face. For all of you across the country here with me now, of the original Beatles, Mr. John Lennon, will the Beatles ever reunite?
You never know. You never know. I mean, it's always in the wind. If it looked like this, it might be worth doing, right?
You did just spend the weekend with Ringo.
Yeah, and I promised him I'd mention his album out now, and I said I wouldn't mention my own, which is out now, too. Forget it.
Thank you very much,
John. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Right now, we've got to rejoin the Gipper.
The Gipper. Both the cause and the cure for an ice cream headache. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, look out.
Look out.
Oh, I'm excited.
Incredible.
I'm excited. It's time for Nancy.
Absolutely.
Who he is. Simply the most powerful woman in sports broadcasting and a good friend of this show. And Mike, you should know, I believe he can hear me say that, so I'm not saying
it. Wonderful. That is a good thing. I'm glad that he can. We keep all the cards on the table.
Robbie, do we have his music? Oh, hold on. I see CD number two.
There it is.
From the NFL on CBS. Here is our man, Jimmy Nance. Jim!
Hey!
Hey, guys.
Here he is. Long time no chat, Jim Nance.
Oh, please hold the applause.
Come on now, Jim. We are in your fan club. We are on your side. Let me start right out by telling you, Jim, it's been 6 or 7 months since we've had you on the show. These guys will tell you, when I came in after, what was last week, the second week?
Right.
To talk about the games that were on TV, I didn't talk about the games. I talked about what I thought was a great moment right at the beginning of the Denver game that you were doing as it went to overtime.
Oh, yeah.
When you and Phil Sims, really, I thought you pissed him off so bad, he was going to punch you because you were arguing that overtime is okay the way that it is.
No. It's the other way around.
Okay, no, you wanted it the college way.
No, absolutely not.
No, so you wanted...
You said you were watching.
Well, hold on.
Good gosh.
Hold on.
Did you have the sound down?
One of you had...
It begins, ladies and gentlemen.
All right,
it begins. The relationship begins right where it left off.
Here's all I know. Is that one of these guys, either Phil Sims or his partner, Jim Nance, one of them thinks that they should do it like in college football.
No. No. Why don't you let me tell the story?
Okay, please do.
I'm going to throw you out. You're going to be disqualified.
Hold on. Jimmy, before you tell it, true or false, though, at one point... Didn't Phil Sims scream at you, "You have to let me speak"?
Yes, he seemed a bit agitated.
Yes.
But he was not being serious now. You don't think for a minute how this was heated.
I don't think it was, but explain to us.
You two couldn't be closer, isn't that right?
Now, which side of overtime are you on, Jimmy?
I think that the overtime rules in the NFL in their current form stink.
Huh.
Okay, but I don't think that the college way of settling it is the solution at this level. I just simply believe, and for some reason, this gets like so muddled by people, and they can't comprehend it. I don't know why, but this is it. Let each team be guaranteed one possession. So in other words, what I hate about the overtime rule in its present state is that the team that wins the coin flip, 28% of the time in the history of sudden death playoffs, has gone down the field off the coin flip and won.
You're right. This is the exact spiel that you were giving to Phil Sims.
Now, if you were saying 78%, I'd see you'd have a point. But what's wrong with 28%?
Let me ask you something, Mike. do you mind making 28% on your money?
Well, I'd love to make 28%.
Then would you not, if you're a football team and you only play 16 games a year,
would you not
like to have a 28% advantage going into overtime?
I forgot what a tremendous orator you are, Jim Nance.
Thank you, my man.
And a great debater. Yes.
Jimmy, it was a good, I'm telling you, it was the highlight, regardless of if I got which side you were on right. All I do is come in and tell everybody, I'm watching that game.
You know what? The important thing is you enjoyed the telecast.
Well, of course I did. And I thought it was great because... You guys had to fill, like, 5 minutes when they came out to toss the coin and explain it. And it was actually very spirited. I didn't think he was really going to take a swing at you, but at one point it was great because it was just the graphic on the screen, and Jim felt very strongly about his position, and you just hear Phil Simms saying, "You're going to have to let me talk at some point, Jim."
Well, here's the deal. You know, Phil, and listen, you know, I have incredible respect for him and a great friendship. There is no animosity at all about this. This is what sports is at its best when it's something you can debate. But he thinks that, you know, if you go in the direction I'm talking about, that these overtimes are going to get too long,
right,
which is going to create more injuries. I say fooey to that because
good gosh.
Listen, you know, in the case of, again, a one possession overtime win like what we had at Denver, in that case Denver would have kicked off to Kansas City. We're not giving anybody the ball at the 25 yard line. Kansas City then would have had to go down the field and match it to extend the game or win it. And if they did match it, if they happened to match it with a field goal of their own, now they kick off and there's not another overtime period. There's not another coin flip. They simply had their chance. They could have done what they could have maybe done more than just match the field goal.
And the game will be 9 hours long.
That's total baloney. You know, Philadelphia.
And that'd be fine with me, Jimmy.
Listen, Philadelphia and the Giants played an overtime game.
I love that game.
Also.
Fabulous game.
Yeah, and they played 12 minutes into overtime. Okay, there was only 3 minutes left. Now, I'm not talking about this thing's not going to go to a second overtime, because if it's still tied after 15 minutes, then the game is a tie.
Well, I'm a Giants fan, Jim, and I watched that overtime game.
Sure, you liked it because it fell this the right way for your
team. Yeah. And I truly...
But the rule was inherently incredibly unfair.
All right, well, Nancy, let's move on to something else, if we can. I have so many things I wanted to bring.
Let's get them off the chest.
Okay, here we go. Let's talk about... Because you did the studio show, now you're back to being the number one announcer. You're doing the Super Bowl this year.
This is my third year being out here calling our league game. I've loved it.
Nice gig. Now, you're far removed from your days in the studio. Now, looking back on it now, and how everything is unfolded now, you're doing the number one games. Greg Gumbel has been pushed back to the team behind you. They brought in our friend and your friend, JB.
JB, great guy.
From Fox. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at that whole situation now, Jim, because, you know, I watch those shows like an idiot rocket science.
Yes, you have.
Like I'm a rocket scientist.
Yes.
I'm an inch away from the TV. I really think now Fox has totally screwed the pooch. They've got their four lunkheads outside at a stupid stadium inside a glass coffin every week with drunks pounding against the windows, and they can't be heard, and they got awful sound, and they've taken away a lot of the features that I like. I'm a big fan of JB, and even though I call you Nancy, I'm a big fan of you. Do you ever think, now when you're looking back, boy, I know you like calling the games, but wouldn't it be nice to be back in that set? Because I really think this is the year that CBS is going to come up and just kick Fox's ass.
And what's your measuring stick, by the final rating?
No, I tell you what, Jimmy, and now I'm very serious. Yes, I think they're going to win in the ratings.
Let me just say this, because I'm going to take some pressure off my man James Brown. It's almost impossible to win the overall season's ratings thing. So
I know.
Let me just caution you not to get too far ahead of yourself. The show is doing great, and it's gangbusters, but I don't want to put those kind of expectations on that show.
And I know the argument you're going to make is that the NFC has bigger markets.
It's fail-proof, so don't try to... All this stuff you're talking about is...
Is
absolutely an uneducated observation.
Well, what did I say? I'm an uneducated viewer, but I'm telling you that I am.
The show is darn good, and that's the bottom line. You want to win the perception battle. It's impossible to overcome the NFC markets, whether you like it or not. That's just the way it is.
Jimmy, listen to me. Hold on. I talk to regular people. I don't live in a mansion like you in Connecticut.
Oh, stop.
I live among normal people. Listen, we're both season ticket holders for NFL teams. Here's the difference. I go to the game for the team that I... You have season tickets for the Houston Texans.
Well, I got to say, he's busy on that day.
He's
working. He's very busy.
But I like bringing that up. He's a season ticket holder. He doesn't use... He lives in a different world than me. I'm telling you, my friends... The lunch pail crowd, the blue collar people out there.
In the words of the movie Big Night with Stanley Tucci, he lives in a world above you.
I'm telling you, Jim, that market size doesn't matter. The AFC is such a dominant conference.
Okay.
Really, really?
I hope you're right.
I mean, hold on. Look at the games this weekend. And I go all the way back to, I'm still a guy that in some ways, I don't like the AFC because it's still like NFL versus AFL.
It is.
But you're looking at it now, seriously, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass because you don't need this, Jimmy. Look at the games this weekend. What are your biggest games?
Well, I'm in Pittsburgh.
Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. That's huge. Carson Palmer coming back. Pittsburgh knocked him out last week. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. That's two 2-0 teams.
Two small markets. Well, Indianapolis is...
See, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
You know, I just don't know how this works.
Jim, don't you?
And I hope you're right on all the accounts of what you stated above, because I think the show's doing great, and I love James, but I wouldn't trade what I'm doing for anything.
Jimmy, I know you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. The point of all this, I think...
Hey, hold on, though. How do you compete against St. Louis Rams at Arizona Cardinals?
That pregame show is going to do well. All of your games are going to do well. How's old Greg Gumbel holding up?
Oh, yeah, I haven't talked to Greg, but I'm sure he's doing really well. He missed doing the games, and he wanted to go back out, and he's doing a terrific job.
Cutthroat business, Jimmy. It's a goddamn cutthroat business.
Maybe it is where you work, but I tell you what, at CBS, we got a pretty good group of people that we all get along with.
Well, hold on. You know what we have here? We have a survivor on the line here, Jim. I mean, you've just been at the top of your game for how many years now? How long have you been with the fabulous CBS network?
This is the 22nd year now.
Oh, my God. 22nd. That's amazing.
My God. You're going to be like John McCain getting out of a POW camp when you finally leave CBS.
Hey, I've missed you guys. How come you never invite me back on the show?
Oh, now, hold on a second.
You're on the show right now, aren't you?
Hold on a second. Jim, did we or did we not try to contact Jim Nance for how many golf events during the off season?
A lot of them.
At least... All of the big ones that you were doing, and we know...
Another stellar season, Jim. I have to compliment you. Jim, I love you on the golf.
We know during your time of making love to the Augusta Golf Course that you're very
Nobody does it better, right? Nobody does it better.
Do not think that we didn't call your handlers to try to get you on. As a matter of fact, we played tapes of you during the many times that you would, give your love poems to Phil. Or
it was wonderful.
Or the other guys.
We also aired almost the entire special you did on Nicholas's 86 victory.
Oh, I love you.
But I love you, too.
Ah,
and you know, Jim, guys. Why does it always have to be us calling you?
Wait a minute. Who just called in now?
Who called?
I called in here for the record.
I love talking the football with you, but when you do the Masters, it's just
it's a tradition unlike any other.
There you go. Thank you for that.
All right, Nancy. Now
I hadn't said it about 4 months.
Here is a topic that you are going to probably want to shy away from, but maybe you'll give us an honest answer.
Here we go.
No.
Now this is actually something that came up on the show, and you might find it interesting.
I got a bet with one of our listeners in Baltimore. Okay, last week I'm watching the Ravens-Raiders game, and as I'm sure you know, Buddy Ryan's sons are each defensive coordinators for those respective teams.
Yes, and he's got some look going now, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I'm watching then last night the Bob Costas show on HBO. Where they did a whole thing about Buddy Ryan sitting at home in his easy chair watching his sons coach this game. Which one of Buddy Ryan's sons do you believe, if you have an opinion, is heavier?
Which one weighs more?
Is it the son for the Raiders or the son for the Ravens? Because I have a bet, a rather disgusting bet, with a member of our audience on this.
Well, only because, he's got so much hair now that's got to weigh something. I'd have to go with Rob Ryan of the Raiders.
Yeah, see?
There you go.
You're getting a long way
to winning the bet right
there. You are getting that from the number one voice at CBS Sports.
He has confirmed your theory that it is Ron Ryan.
Rob Ryan.
He is the heavier of the two brothers.
You see, Jim, and if I win the bet, what's going to happen is the Ravens fan from Baltimore is going to come down here, and we're going to put some of my underpants in a big pot, and we're going to boil them up, and he's going to have to drink underpants tea.
That is maybe just I've got a great dinner I'm going to tonight, and
have you missed
I just
this?
Completely lost any
have you missed this, Jim?
Do you love it?
I don't
mind. Drink the tea.
That might be the sickest illustration I've ever had to put in my head. All right.
That to me sounds like something that might fit on America's Most Watched Network. CBS. Jim, love the new graphics this year.
Oh, you do? I'll pass the word along.
Love the updated graphics.
They're easy for you to read.
Yeah, they are. Thank you for making them bigger. Thank you for making the words
we
bigger.
We had to dumb them down a little bit, so I thought you might like them.
Wonderful.
I also enjoy the fact that you have the stats for all the pertinent stats for the fantasy guys.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's something that, no, seriously, our new graphic look is good, and that stat tracks after every play. I know when I'm watching a game on another network, not because of fantasy football, but I miss it.
So do I.
You know, I want to see it. I want to know what this guy's doing.
All right, so Jim, who's on your fantasy team this year?
Well, I've got a quarterback, Peyton Manning of the Indianapolis Colts. How about that?
Mm-hmm. He's pretty good. Who are your running backs?
Well, I went against the common strategy of going running backs early, and I took Larry Fitzgerald in the second round, which is pretty studly.
I got him as well.
And then I ended up going in there and getting Frank Gore. How's that looking now?
Hey, hold on a second. Jimmy, great minds think alike. I got Frank Gore as well.
Did you know Frank Gore is related to Al Gore?
Is he really?
Yeah, and did you know Frank Gore claims he invented the touchdown?
Oh, hey, bada-bing. He's trying out his material, ladies and gentlemen. Jim, is that used, or are you throwing up a trial balloon here to see if you're going to use that?
Jim, here's a question for you.
Yes.
What CBS show has its season premiere tonight at 10 p.m.?
Oh, boy.
That's right. I'm quizzing you on the CBS.
This is a good one here. Yeah.
Don't, Jim?
I don't think we tweaked our Friday night. Did you say it's a series premiere or a season?
Season premiere tonight.
Season premiere. It's got to be numbers.
Oh, yeah. He's the winner on the CBS quiz.
Tonight on America's number one network.
Now, Jim. For a bonus point, and I know you'll get this one, what is the all-new lineup following football on Sunday nights?
That's easy, because it even rhymes.
They rhyme, right.
It rhymes. 60 minutes doesn't figure into that. But right. 60 minutes, amazing race, and without a trace.
Oh Jim, I'm sorry. Close. I am sorry. You forgot. Cold Case.
Well, you didn't let me finish.
No. Well, Jim, the order is Amazing Race.
It's squeezed in there. So it's race, and Chase.
Right.
You got it. it's Race, Chase, and Trace.
Trace.
And Trace.
Race, Case, and Trace.
Hey, Jim, how do you feel about that controversial Survivor, huh?
I haven't seen it.
Dividing them up racially?
I don't know anything about it.
Jim, I thought of you over the line. Over the line, friends. Jim Nance.
Oh,
Jim,
my God.
How's the weather in Pittsburgh?
You know, it's supposed to get nasty here. I think the whole country is going to get kind of socked in at some point this weekend. But I think by kickoff here at 1 o'clock Eastern time, we're going to be just fine here for this bloodbath between the Bengals and the Steelers. A lot of bad blood here.
How's Bill Cowher's mindset?
He's fine. I had a great chat with Bill. That's the reason I got a little late to you guys today, and we sat back, visited for about an hour. I got to say this about his team, all kidding aside. He's finding out, as they all do after a Super Bowl win, to try to come back and get everyone's attention, to come back and refocus. It's hard. He doesn't like where his team is right now. He does not like the mindset at the moment, because his team is, every time you walk off the practice field, you got somebody still congratulating you about a win from 7 months ago.
Right.
But he is an awesome coach. I've always had great regard for him. And, you know, when you see people like Bill who, have all the credentials except the one thing, the ring, the Super Bowl on your resume, then he gets it. You know, you really feel like that, you know, this is a guy that, is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, and I salute him. I think he runs an incredible, operation here, and so do the Rooneys. The team doesn't go out and change its coach every 3 or 4 years. You know, this is old school, and I respect that a great deal.
And what about the thugs for Cincinnati? Cincinnati's like the number, I know we got to wrap it up, Rob, but Cincinnati's got all these guys that are arrested for doing crap, but they win games, and it seems if you win games, all of that is forgotten.
Right? Am I right? Am I wrong?
Well, they've had, let's not, you know, sugarcoat it here. They've been on the police blotter more than they've been, you know,
right.
Sports pages in the off season.
Like eight guys, something. Oh, and lastly, I know that they tell you secret stuff, but how does Ben Roethlisberger look?
I didn't get to see him today. He's going to call us tomorrow. He had a personal issue to take care of after practice today. So I saw him at practice, and he looks just fine. I didn't get to visit and speak with him. But, you know, if you look at his history, he hasn't had many losses as a starter. I mean, he's 22-4 as a starter in regular season. But when he's lost, he's bounced back the next week and come back with a huge performance. So... you know, I think we'll see Roethlisberger clicking on Sunday.
Before we do some real fast picks, we'll let you go in less than 1 minute. Off the top of your head, who's the number one team in the league right now? Overall?
Oh, gosh.
Come on, overall.
I think San Diego. I know they played a couple of really bad teams, but I think the Chargers could be on their way to fighting Indianapolis for the number one seed in the AFC.
You're kidding. You think that is seriously at the Super Bowl?
I do. I know people are going to say, what about Phillip Rivers? I think he's going to be just fine. And then the Chicago Bears and the NFC look really great, but I think come playoff time, I don't know how far that offense will be able to go. I know that defense can take them a long way. But the Giants may have, not only they saved the season last week, in that win.
Right.
That might be the one that when we do the Super Bowl in February, we might say, gosh, they probably wouldn't have been here had they not rallied from 17 down against Philadelphia.
I was thinking the same thing watching that game. That is the kind of game that can actually turn an entire season around.
The whole season's built off of that quarter in overtime.
Right.
All right, here we go. We're going to
like this phone call to me, I build my whole season around.
Hey, man, you're good. Goddamn right.
Good for you.
Okay, let's see. We'll pick 1-2-3 game. You got time for that?
Let's do it real quick. Lightning round.
Here we go. Lightning round. Again, only Jimmy gets to pontificate on why he's picking the teams. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Mike, I will take the Colts.
I'm going to go with the Colts also.
Yeah. I'm going to make it a sweep, but there is some hesitation there. The only thing that I hold back on the Jags is that they had to play on Monday night. Now they got to travel. They play the Colts pretty tough sometimes up there at Indianapolis, surprisingly, and I don't think this is going to be an easy one, but I'll take Indy.
It's time for a lightning round.
All right, how do you feel about the game you're calling?
Yeah, I never picked the game
I'm calling. Okay, all right. Let me move to then. How about Atlanta at New Orleans? I think everybody wants New Orleans. I think Atlanta will win the game, though. Mike?
I'm going to go with New Orleans just on the emotion of it.
You know, I know what you're saying there, Don, about everybody wants the Saints, the Falcons are the better team, but I just think that this is an emotional level that we haven't seen a long time in the NFL. That Superdome being reopened, that one symbol of Hurricane Katrina and all the suffering of that Chamber of Horrors, and then Monday night for it to come back, reopen, it's just too big. I can't imagine the Saints not winning here.
All right, and then the last one I got to ask you. There are so many 0-2 teams that play each other this weekend, but I think most people here in D.C., of course, be interested in the Redskins, and you're a Texans season ticket holder. Who do you like in this battle of 0-2? In this battle of 0-2 losers? I think Houston will win this game.
I do too. I really believe Houston's going to win this game.
You know, this is all anti. This is like angry Redskin fans coming out now with those two picks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That, there's anger in those picks.
That you're correct, sir.
Total anger.
You are correct.
But I'm also going to take the Texans. I really thought you guys kind of surprised me. I thought you'd take Washington.
No, we're not.
But Gary Kubiak gets his first win as the head coach of the Texans on Sunday.
Hey, Jim, now listen, you're a season ticket holder. You know the owner.
You know, it's the third time you've mentioned that. You know, you never finished the thing, but I've never been to a Texans game.
Never been to a game.
I've never been to a game, but I do buy four tickets every year.
Why didn't they take Reggie Bush?
Well, that's one that it's going to take a couple of years before that's going to be a satisfactory answer, because the kid that they drafted instead, Mario Williams, is not ready to make a huge difference right now, but he will. This guy is physically gifted. He wants to learn. He's a smart kid. And I think, you know, he's going to be a great talent.
All right, and will you take your shirt off at any time during the game this weekend?
You know, I've been doing, oddly enough, just like the overtime argument you mentioned earlier. I did the entire overtime last week without a shirt
on. There you go, Jeff.
I don't know. Right. There he is. He's your number one voice on CBS. He's a good friend of this show.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
You know, and I tell you this all the time, and I know you love it when I say it, but it's amazing how many times, wherever I am, you're traveling, doing golf, basketball, or football around this great country, how many people come up and say, how come you haven't been on Don and Michael? I love you on Don and Mike. And,
Jimmy, you're going
to get it. You've got a great fan base, and I appreciate all those people out there, the listeners who've always come over there to express that to me.
You aren't going
to
get that this weekend in Pittsburgh. We are big in Pittsburgh, and I wish I could remember the name of our radio station right now.
Sometimes it's tough.
They probably would like a mention.
Something good.
Rob Spiegel getting out of
Come on, guys. You got to come up with this.
Come on, let's go, Rob.
This is our station in Pittsburgh.
They want to thank all the good listeners in Pittsburgh that listen to the Don and Mike show
on radio station.
Jesus, come on.
Just drag it out.
Pittsburgh is worth.
1550 AM.
WURP.
WURP.
But they have a fancy name for it. It's like
the
Big Worm.
The Big Worm. I don't know.
Your Steelers hometown station.
Right.
Hey, Jimmy, have a great call of the game. We'll
Thanks,
talk to
guys.
You later
we'll
this year.
Soon, okay.
Bye bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye, honey.
There he goes.
There she goes.
Wow. He was wound up again. Yeah. Oh man.
He's easy to get going, isn't he?
A tradition like no other.
There were so many things there. We were laughing when he starts to pontificate.
Oh, he does the Katrina stuff.
And he does the stuff from the heart, which is the thing about this tool that it makes us love him so much.
Right.
Is that he really believes it.
Yeah.
And like when he's saying, like, the eyes of the miles of heartbreak, or what was it?
Exactly? House of Horrors.
Chamber of Horrors.
Chamber of Horrors. Yes, he's got it, man.
But if you really, I think the two highlights have to be Fooey and Good Gosh.
Yes. Good Gosh.
Good Gosh.
We got a God Almighty there when Don talks about the underwear tee.
I didn't know
he was great.
Sworn.
that's as close as you'll get with him.
That is a Jim Nance, our Pick the Pros Until They Scab selection segment is brought to you by Ford. Make sure to visit addictedtokelly.com for all the latest Kelly Clarkson videos and your chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible. Jim Nance brought you today on the show by Ford, and thank you to Jimmy. We'll have our friend JB on next week.
Thanks, guys.
And when we come back, hey, guys, indeed.
Indeed.
It's time for Bob's News.
Hey, Bobby News.
Come right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's find out.
The radio equivalent of foul-smelling discharge.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Well, we did start the Jerry tapes this week, the show, the Jerry Lewis telephone tapes. We did start playing those on the show this week.
They were good.
Marvelous. There are more of them next week. Also next week on the show, let me see. Well, Rob actually has some guests booked, but I don't want to mention it because...
You'll jinx it?
No, he's just a screw-up.
He's nodding knowingly at you.
Big time screw up. Next week on the show, though, we will be playing a brand new game called My Wife Has a Disproportionate Breasts.
Oh.
Ah, wonderful. One larger than the other.
We're going to be looking for women with disproportionate breasts.
Very exciting.
On the show next week. And we have the Las Vegas, excuse me, the Reno style show happening next Wednesday at the Hard Times Cafe and Q in Herndon, VA. It's our big Reno style show. And that's where we will be paying off the bet that I made with the Ravens fan today in Baltimore. The underpants tee bet will be paid off at our Reno style show.
Very exciting.
Next Wednesday night. And we'll have the definitive word on which of the Ryan boys is the fattest on Monday. And also next week, the return of many things. They just won't listen. And Buzz, the gay mediator, and Buzz, the gay gladiator, and Buzz, the gay swinger, and
just Buzz being gay.
Anyway.
It's Buzz Gay Week.
We got a lot of stuff. Oh, and we should also mention the return of Strip Trivia.
What?
Very soon, in the month of October.
The biggest cash prize ever, right?
One winner, one amount. $2,500.
Serious money.
Strip Trivia is back in October.
Rocktober.
Now here's Bob. Hi, Bob.
The Bob Report. Hi, Donna, Mike.
Bob's News.
The president, who spent more money than any other, wants you to know the Democrats will raise taxes if you elect them to Congress.
Look, the key for me is to keep expectations low.
His exact words, they'll raise your taxes. It'll hurt our economy, and that's why we're not going to let them get control of the House of Representatives, end quote. The White House says the president will spend the next 7 weeks, the 7 weeks remaining until Bad Decision 06, traveling the country to campaign for the re-election of the Republicans who run the least popular Congress for the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
If only something really good would happen between now and the election, something that would make Americans like this Congress again. Conservative websites are reporting that the president's buddy Karl Rove has been promising Republican insiders what they call in politics an October surprise.
Yep.
And maybe more than one. I hear we're all getting toaster ovens. A conservative columnist for the American Spectator reports that Rove will not say what the surprise will be. Well, then it wouldn't be a surprise, now would it? Say what you will about Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez.
Hugo, girl.
He can sure sell books.
We're going to publish nude photos of Hugo Chavez.
Hey, how you doing, Karl Rove?
How are you, Don? Good to see you. Hey, welcome back from holiday.
Thank you.
How are you all doing?
Well, and you?
I'm wonderful. I'm the architect, you know.
Yes, we know.
We're very excited about our October surprise.
Sure.
So, listen, how are you doing, President Rove?
I'm wonderful, and thank you so much for giving me the title that only certain individuals behind the scenes, Big Dick and all the other clueless wonders over there. I'm very, very excited. Get ready for my October surprise.
And say what you will about Hugo Chavez, but he can sell books. Before his appearance at the UN this week, a book claiming the U.S. is trying to take over the world ranked 200,000 titles down the Amazon bestseller list.
Of course we are.
Now, after Chavez held up this book during his speech, this book ranked number one on the Amazon bestseller list. And brick-and-mortar stores that had it are sold out as well.
Well, he might as well have gone on Oprah and they got it on her goddamn book club then.
He outsells Oprah, Don. In spite of the title, Hegemony or Survival, America's Quest for Global Dominance by Noam Chomsky.
Oh, I read that book. That is a page-turner and a side-splitter.
And a little steamy, don't you think?
Isn't that where the guy tries to get the files out of the law firm? Right? And then he gets chased around and he's got to talk outside because they got his house mic'd.
Right.
That's what it's about,
I believe you're with Tom Cruise?
Yeah. Isn't that it?
Not at all, Mike. This is a feel-good. The one that I'm talking about is based on the movie with... it had Bonnie Hunt and Steve Martin.
Okay.
And they had 12 kids.
Yours, Mine, and Ours?
And that's it. That's the Hugo Chavez story.
It makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really does.
And I've always thought that Steve Martin was the perfect choice to play Hugo Chavez.
They look the same.
Although, especially with the hat. Although he once sheltered Osama bin Laden, the president of Pakistan, meanwhile, says his country was happy to cooperate with the U.S. after 9/11.
While you're mentioning this, I just wanted to throw this out.
Yeah?
Why don't we move the United Nations somewhere else?
Rockville.
Well, no, I mean, move it out of the United States.
Out of the
where
US
would you like it to be?
To where?
Anywhere.
Canada?
Here's what. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
Here's what. It screws up traffic in New York City.
True.
Beyond belief. But beyond that, all it is now is like inviting people to come into your house and tell you what an a-hole you are.
Right.
I mean, everybody that I saw on the big screen, even Hugo, who like said, you know, death to America, Bush's an ass, then crosses himself. You know, please, we're inviting them into our house for this crap.
I got a place for it.
What?
Where?
Space.
Oh, that'd be good.
Besides, the UN is worthless. It might as well be P-U-N.
A lot of people have
pussified United Nations. God, Kofi, what's his name?
Kofi Annan.
Kofi Annan.
Yeah, right. Worthless. Just a tool.
Great hair, though.
He might as well be on Letterman's ventriloquist week for someone to put their hand up his behind it and work his mouth.
But I mean, technically, when they go into the United Nations, they're not on American territory.
Right. But, Mike, you and I both know they are.
Ah, they're in New York City.
New York City!
We're inviting them into our largest metropolitan area and say, come on, you know what? Stay at our hotels. Write books about how much you hate America.
I think they would be a lot friendlier if they would put something out before they speak. You know, you see them, they got the big things for their heads and, you know, the translators. Put out chips. Put out some chips. Something to munch on. I think everybody will be in a better mood.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Everybody likes snacks.
Mm-hmm. Tired of the United Nations. Well, Jesus, what a bunch of crap. Like someone doesn't just stand up and just go slap that Hugo guy and say, go back to your third world country. And the guy from Iran, hey, listen, first, pal, this is something we have in America. It's called the shit disposable razor. Okay? Number two, if you're going to speak to the United Nations, buy yourself a goddamn clip-on tie. Okay? You're wearing a suit that looks like you rolled it up in your camel's ass
before you flew to this country and you speak to us like this, the United Nations.
Hey, man, why are you so angry?
Like, I'm in a great mood.
I am.
Friday's here.
That's how you can tell.
Have a can of beer.
You can't fault him on the suit. All the good dry cleaners have left Iran and come here already.
You know, it's just, if we're going to have an I Hate America party, let's not have it in America.
Yeah, move it to Venezuela.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not? Though he once sheltered Osama bin Laden, the president of Pakistan, says his country was happy to cooperate with us after 9/11.
Oh, I don't trust him.
He tells 60 Minutes we didn't have to threaten to bomb his country back to the Stone Age.
You know, you're saying you're an ally, you're saying you support him, you're happy, and then you're saying, but the guy came in and said, if you don't cooperate, we're going to bomb you into
the
Stone
Age. And that's another thing.
Right?
Why are we putting this guy on our show? Why is he on the American show 60 Minutes?
U.S. officials denied the threat. The Pakistani president, Pervez Musharraf, says his intelligence director heard it straight from the mouth of Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage. And arguably, this is the country where Osama bin Laden is hiding.
Yeah.
It's very possible. It certainly was before 9/11. Quoting President Musharraf, he said, be prepared to be bombed, prepare to go back to the Stone Age. I think it was a very rude remark, end quote.
I certainly don't think that we should have the type of propaganda that evil regimes put out, where you put out fake news and stuff that's not real. But how about just saying, listen, everybody in the world, everybody in the world hates us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to move the United Nations somewhere else, because we got the greatest goddamn country in the world.
The North Pole.
North Pole!
Good place for it.
Santa and the UN.
It would have to be on a boat. The North Pole has melted.
Speaking of Al-Qaeda, cable idiot Bill O'Reilly believes he's on their hit list. We'll talk about that when we come back.
God. Oh God.
Who's looking out for you?
Right.
Who's looking out for you?
They want to kill me.
It's simple. It's all about money.
Ludicrous.
Ludicrous lyrics. Bad guys. They're going to kill me.
Why don't you send them one of your floor mats?
You know, I'll send them a floor mat and also my new book. Because everybody needs it. And then, of course, the new book that's going to be rewritten for kids in 2 years.
You know, I'm going to just say the same title for kids. You know, make a third more money.
Because I'm a bad guy.
Lufons for kids.
I'm going to buy you for Christmas a beautiful leather jacket that has a big, gigantic target right on the back of it.
Come on, Al-Qaeda. Yeah, you see this jacket? It's got a target on it. Try me. Try me, because I'm a tough guy.
Shoot you in the bathtub with your loofah.
Yeah, shoot me and then I'll pop another spot. A blotchy spot on my face.
Like Mark Helgenberger.
Pop a spot, guys.
All right, so I think we've pretty much done that story for you, Bob.
Thank you.
We'll come right back with something else.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You know, we were just
celebrating the year of the ass, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, and that's timely, as what I was about to say, that we're talking about movies.
Right.
I'm pretty sure if I do go to the movies this weekend, I'll see the new Jackass movie.
That would be at the top of my list.
Only because my boy called me today to tell me all of the highlights.
Ah.
Including...
He's already seen it?
Yeah. Scene involving horse semen. Listen. There's nothing wrong. If I don't say what they do with it, the word horse and the word semen are okay to be together.
Right.
So everybody's cool with that. No need for anybody to hit a button.
Over the line, Don.
But that to me would be worth the price of admission.
Yeah. I'd certainly be curious to see that.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Anybody thirsty?
No.
Here's Bob with more news. Hi. Bob, you going to go see Jackass number 2?
Not so likely. Probably not.
No,
probably not.
And see, it's Jackass number 2, because that's like a number 2 joke.
Yeah, because that's the audience, right?
Maybe I'll take Carrie for her birthday.
What girl wouldn't want to go see that?
Exactly.
Cable lunatic Bill O'Reilly believes he's on Al-Qaeda's hit list.
Is he making that up, too?
Thinks they want to kill him. Quoting poor, delusional Bill, the FBI came in and warned me and a few other people at Fox News that Al-Qaeda had us on a death list.
Right, who? Him and, what's his name? Who's, him and Shep Smith?
Right. Give me the agent's name. I want to see the FBI agents interviewed. I want to hear what they have to say.
Some checking was done, and for the record, the FBI knows of no Al-Qaeda plan to kill Bill.
Of course.
And just a private message, if I may, personally from me to the FBI.
Okay.
Look, I know it's funny, but if you tell him stuff like that, he believes it. And an American salute to the CIA for not playing along with the administration's worldwide network of secret prisons. Guantanamo's closed now, and part of the reason is the CIA investigators refused to run it or do any more interrogating there because to do so might have been illegal. The kind of illegal that means scandal and ruin and prison. And believe me, these guys know what prison can be like. A report this week indicates Guantanamo and some of the other prisons have actually closed sooner than the administration had hoped, all because the CIA folks refused to play along with what appeared to them to be unconstitutional. A recent Supreme Court ruling indicates they made the right call. And believe it or don't, there's an actual proposal in the Senate to study the idea of building a fence along the U.S. border with Canada.
You're goddamn genius!
No, wrong country.
Vermont.
Right.
Vermont.
Move that about 3,000 miles south.
Come on. Well, this would be in addition to the Mexican fence.
Now, Rob, we can build two, but let's build the Mexican one first.
Vermont's Pat Leahy was the first to harumph, quoting him, "Heavens to Betsy. I've heard some cockamamie ideas in my time, but this one rises to the top."
The cockamamie.
The bizarre proposal comes.
Whoa, look out! Look out!
Does talk about that Mexican fence. Leahy's okay with that, but he says the Canadian fence idea isn't, I quote, boneheaded.
88% of Canadians live within 16 blocks of the border.
They're not going to attack us. Never forget.
That's right.
The PTA wants to know if you want your daughter to grow up to be a hooker. When we continue.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. Okay, we'll be back with more of Bob.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. All that they desire is friendship and a discreet VF. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I feel the earth
now. Move is Bob. And I love the fact that everybody, John's helping me, emailing. Why am I calling you Bob?
Yeah, why? Well, they can spend the weekend thinking about it.
I don't know.
All right, we will.
What?
You will reveal it next week.
Good tease.
It's the hot new soft drink kids can't stop talking about. It's cocaine. Teens are buying it like candy in New York and L.A. from the Redux Beverage Company of Las Vegas. There's no actual cocaine in the soft drink, but it does have 350 times the caffeine of Red Bull, and without the jitters or sugar crash associated with some high-caffeine drinks. Some adults are really more worried about the name of the drink. It makes the real cocaine seem less harmful.
Robert loves it.
Finally.
Robert, your son?
Yeah, my three-year-old.
Only on long trips.
Makes him strong. Finally, parents just trying to make a living don't go to PTA meetings the way they once did. An elementary school PTA in Jackson, Mississippi is trying to change that, but there's controversy. The PTA sent home letters asking parents what they might volunteer for. Last choice on the page reads, "No thanks, I want my children to be thieves, drug addicts, and prostitutes." The school says it won't happen again.
Ludicrous.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we know.
That's it.
All right.
Well, see you for the Saturday show.
That's right.
That's when some celebrity's called again, and we're going to be giving away Bentleys in.
Bruce Willis.
Tomorrow.
Bentley or Lamborghini.
Bentley or Lamborghini. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't hurt yourselves. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Amy. We will see you on Monday with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, good day to you over there.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you right there, Kong.
Happy birthday, Carrie. Good gosh.
Watch out for the Chamber of Horrors, guys.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.